Sorry. Opening salvo. All right. Good evening, everybody. This is the July 9th, 2025 regular meeting for the WPFW local station board. I am Kamal Harris, chair of the board, and I will ask our illustrious secretary, Ellen Carter, to call the roll, please, Ellen.
Okay, illustrious. So Anita is excused absence. Verna?
Present.
Wayne?
Here.
Michael Byfield? Michael Byfield?
Hello. Present.
Okay. Bill Curtis?
Here. Present.
Violetta?
Here.
Vanessa?
Here.
Susan?
Here.
Robert?
Present.
Craig Green? Okay, I'll come back. Kamal's here.
I'm here.
Michael Hirsch?
I'm here.
Julie? I'll come back. Arthur Highland?
Hi, everybody.
David?
Here.
Ambrose? Okay, we haven't heard anything. Tony Leon? Tony Leon? Come back. Mariah?
Present.
Ron?
I am here.
Okay, Minerva? Minerva? Michelle Tingling Clemens? Michelle? Wanda?
Here.
Dennis?
I'm here.
Thomas Chase?
Present.
Okay, and I'll just come back to Craig Green. Kamal, have you heard anything from him?
Hello.
Oh, he's here?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Tony Leon? Tony Leon? Okay, and Michelle Tingling, Clemens. Michelle?
She's on her way. I just spoke with her. She's on her way in.
Okay. All right. So then the only one we haven't heard from is Tony Leon. So if he comes in, please let me know, Kamal.
I will do that. I also have Julie Hewitt, member Hewitt, as absent.
Absent?
Yeah.
Has she contacted you?
She did not. I don't have her present yet. So if she comes in, okay. I'll let you know.
All right, I'll put her down as she might be late.
And I don't see Minerva yet either. So those are
the okay.
All right, very well.
I don't have her.
Do we know who call in user one is?
We do not. It's an open meeting. If they didn't answer up during the roll, they're free to listen in on the open meeting. I just let Tony in, so he's here now. All right. Very well. Thank you all for that. And there were two sets of minutes. I'm sorry. Let's just approve the agenda first. The agenda went out early this morning. Did anybody have any adds, subtracts to the agenda as presented? All right, hearing none, we'll approve the agenda for tonight. There were two sets of minutes. We asked Ellen to send out the March minutes, and she also sent out the June minutes for each of those meeting dates. Does anybody have any updates, edits to those sets of minutes, either in March or June?
It looks like I got May minutes. May 14th.
You should have, let me make sure. Ellen, was it March or May? I thought we had.
It was March. It was March that we didn't. It right. was, they, March was sent out right away. And, but we had the April meeting where we weren't able to address that. So it's, that's why we came back to get approval of the March, and we did have in June approval of the May minutes. So it was June and March we needed approval. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a little jump there, Wanda, on the minutes, only because we had that kind of full-blown executive session in April. We didn't get to the March minutes. But that's let me ask, did anyone want to have some edits to that? I see Member Hirsch, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, this isn't about the minutes, but Member Sanders is trying to call in the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Got it. I'll let her in when, well, she's calling in. She should be able to jump right in. Well, I don't see her here in the waiting room. Soon if she shows up, I'll let her in. I do have, Ellen, for the record. Member Lane is here. All right. Again, any add, subtract, edits to the minutes? If not.
Ambrose is here.
Any opposition? Yes, got it. Any opposition to approving the minutes as issued?
No, Julie Hewitt's here too. Sorry.
Oh, Julie's here too. All righty. Great.
Tony is also here.
All right. Do you have that, Ellen? We have Julie. Member Hewitt is here. Member Leon.
Yeah, I have everyone except for Anita.
Got it.
And I have her excused.
I just let Minerva in as well. All right, I think we're up to date. So we have the minutes as issued. If you have any changes you'd like to make, that's always open. You can bring it up at any time. I need a timekeeper. Member Gordon, are you able to keep time for us this evening?
Now, my watch is broken. But I'll count it. How about that? Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. Right.
Thank you, sir.
You use that fast, man.
Actually, I think Michelle is here also. So I think I saw her come in. All right.
Yes, Michelle is here.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Is everyone else getting a storm?
We are, but we're going to press forward. We have our management here tonight. We're going to start off with our program director's report. Is Katia Stitt here this evening?
I'm right here.
Awesome. Katia, you want to go ahead and give us your program director's report?
Sure. Let me just pull it up. I was expecting Miyuki to go first, but I'm happy to go. So okay. Just one moment. Forgive me, you all.
No worries.
Hold on. So most of the report is about, for me in June, is about the festival. I jumped in at some point 3.5 weeks before and produced the festival upon Miyuki's request. Here it is. Okay, here it is. I'm opening it up now so I can read it. I won't, since we sent the reports in on Monday as Kamal requested, I'm not going to read the report verbatim because you got that sometime Monday evening, but certainly if you have questions after you read it thoroughly or about anything I say here, let me know. So that's pretty detailed. I mean, basically it was the booking and a lot more. You can ask me questions about that. But that took up much of June. In addition, though, we finally got Reverend Mark Thompson started with his show Make It Plain on, at that 11 o'clock hour. If you remember, we used to have Monday Morning QB. And because of staff changes, really, and not being able to, just not having the staff to continue that program and thinking that the news department could be repurposed and better serve the community, which they have been doing through not only the headlines, but that incredible newsletter that reaches beyond. Monday Morning QB left several months ago, and Joni had been doing double hours because she, of course, has lots of interesting content and important issues. So Mark, Reverend Mark Thompson, many of you may know him. He took his debut this past Monday at 11 a.m. with his show Make It Plain. We're hoping that Margaret Prescott's Sojourner Truth returns to us on Tuesdays. Margaret has been ill. I don't know how many of you know that she, well, this is over a year ago now, they had fired her producer, so she had no one to produce the show, and she was dealing with illness. So she took a much-needed break, and she won't be back as full-time host. She has a co-host, Nana. I forget Nana's name. I think she is the president of Patients for a Just Immigration or something like that. I might be conflating two titles. But anyway, she has worked with Margaret Prescott a great deal. And like Margaret, she is an activist. It is still being aired on KPFK once a week, which is the station where it originates. And hopefully we will have it back on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. We are also discussing part of what came out, and Miyuki will elaborate on this since she was really the one that put these partnerships together so beautifully for the festival. But we are now engaged with Washington Parks and People and the Josephine Butler Center. And so we're thinking about trying to record YouTube content because we have a YouTube channel. And again, in the age of digital media, it would behoove us to offer something on our YouTube channels. Many of you might remember we used to have our Live at 5 stream there when we had Live at 5, but that fell away when COVID hit. So we're thinking and discussing how to repurpose our YouTube channel so it can become, you know, a hub, robust, a place where people will anticipate interesting content from WPFW. One of the things we're discussing is maybe a health show with Dr. Watkins. We don't know on what regularity it'll be right now, but we are working on a pilot. We will be working on putting a pilot together for that. And one of our brigade members, Brian Burns, will videotape that and we'll get it up on YouTube. So we'll see how that works. We had some very successful days of special programming, June 19th. We did Juneteenth, and that was in conjunction with Thomas Blanton and Denise Young, who did an excellent job. They took the 11 a.m. hour. And all day, though, people recognized Juneteenth. It was really a beautiful day, but I will say thank Thomas and Denise for being very focused and providing us with specifically Juneteenth content. On June 30th, our Inside Out Collective put together a stellar, as we do our annual The House That Wanda Built. It is our annual Pride Month programming, the last day of June, produced by the Inside Out Collective. We have to really big up DAFO and Lee and Mimi, three of the collective members that did a stellar job. They pulled content, they edited content, and they just had a wonderful day of programming. That program began at 9 and went until midnight. And we dedicate it every year to the spirit and the legacy of Wanda Alston, who was a fierce pride advocate from the 70s. Okay, y'all. I don't know about y'all. Okay, I'm going to be quick because we just had huge thunder and lightning here. I'm sorry. And I was right in the window when it happened. Forgive me. It just shook me for a minute. On July 2nd, we did Mississippi to the Congo, 100 Years of Lumumba and Medgar, and we did that in conjunction with Friends of the Congo. Again, it was a stellar day of programming. I want to thank my partners, Moise Mutali from Africa Now, and, of course, Maurice Carney from Friends of the Congo. We had stellar guests, including the daughter of Patrice Lumumba, many activists on the ground in the Congo, and, of course, Joni, Tony Browder, Donald Temple, all did an excellent job dealing with Medgar Evers' legacy. So we did that on the 2nd. And then on July 4th, we did hire the poetic genius of Sekou Sundiata and the musical innovation of Sly Stone. We opened up that day at 9 a.m. with playing, as we have done several years now, Sekou Sundiata's multimedia masterpiece, 51st Dream State, that was recorded at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in 2006. And if you've never listened to it or heard it, I hope you'll go back to the archives. His words are, and the piece is all about empire and the U.S. And his words are as poignant now and as needed now and as spot on now as they were in 2006 when it first happened. And then we did Sly Stone beginning at 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Brother Jamil kicked us off. Then we went to James Funk at 1 o'clock and Lance Reynolds brought us home from 4 until 7 p.m. Upcoming special programming, we have the Hip Hop Caucus. We're working with them to produce a 20th anniversary day of special programming, the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina on Friday, August 29th. That is it for me. Again, giving you the highlights. If once you read the report and you have any questions beyond what you asked me tonight, I'm happy to answer them. Just shoot me an email.
Thank you so much, Katia, for your program director's report. I'll take a stack at this point. Any questions for the program director? Member Hirsch, member Williams, and that, yeah.
How much time, Mr. Chair?
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Okay.
Member Hirsch, you're up. Going once. Going twice. Member Hirsch.
You're muted, Mike.
Mike
is muted. Sorry about that. I wasted some of my good time. I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to honor and thank our program director for that wonderful report showing the vitality and timeliness of our programming. And I'm very pleased to be on the programming committee. And love working with such a vibrant, thoughtful, creative, and effective program director. That's it.
Thank you
so much. Wow, thank you.
Member Williams.
Yeah, also thank you, Katia. And yeah, the July 4th programming was outstanding. I really enjoyed that. One question is there any update on the app?
There isn't because, so I, Miyuki has instructed me for us to stop paying for it. We ran into problems with Apple. We got our Google Play all together. That is together. And actually we get stats from Google Play that shows us how many people have searched for WPFW FM, how many people have clicked on it, whether they're looking at the archives or programming. So Google Play is intact. Apple is not because well, at first it was that someone had become an Apple developer in Pacifica, so I could not be that person. Then finally we got it to be transferred to Stephanie, but when the credentials she gave me to log in with don't work, and so I've reached out back out to Apple support. They wrote me back, in fact, just 2 days ago to say, we're looking into this and we'll get back to you. So unfortunately, and we have to have both of them up for Zeno Media to then do what they do. We have the app. I mean, it's built. It was built, you know, years ago when we first worked with them. But until we can be cleared as an Apple developer and I can log into the system, and Stephanie has given me permission, but for some reason, you know, it doesn't work that way with Apple. So we're still trying to figure it out. So in the meantime, we're putting the payments on pause, but we're still trying to work to get the app because the app is really important.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Member Byfield.
Good evening. Excellent event on Sunday at the park. I attended it and I thought it was well done. I hope we can do that every year. I want to commend you guys on that. Couple of things. On I guess that was Friday when we had the I guess commemoration to Sly Stone and the poet Sundiata. I thought that to have a program that long, going that, taking up that many hours, I didn't, from my perspective, it's not as if Sly Stone is an artist with a catalog like Stevie Wonder or Prince or anything like that. What I heard was a lot of repeats by different programmers. And 2 weeks before that, when he died, programmers, I know DJ Lance had committed 2 hours of his show to that, and other programmers. So it just seemed like a very redundant set of things to do when in this time that we're experiencing, there are just so many important things happening in the country and in this area that I just thought maybe we didn't really need a full 11 hours when we could commit 3 hours to something like that. And finally, YouTube, I know, censors language around Gaza, genocide, and a lot of other mainstream media propaganda language. So for us to be looking down that road, I know there's other stations that are looking at Rumble and other types of media.
That's time, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead and finish your thought, Michael, really quickly.
And other types of media. I think the program director gets where I'm coming from. So thank you, Vice Chair.
Is there time for me to respond?
Wasn't a question there, but if you have something you'd like to add some color to.
Yeah, I have some clarifications there. So, first of all, July 4th is a union holiday. And very often, one of our engineers always has to work on the union holiday, but we thought it was really important that they actually have a holiday, a complete holiday. So I was the one engineering the morning for Sekou Sundiata, and actually I stayed a good portion of Brother Jamil's program to make sure he had no problems. And then after that, we had music programmers come in because they don't require an engineer. And I take your point on Sly Stone. I think he's really beloved, and I know when we put it out there again, people did jump at the chance to be a part of it, but I do understand what you're saying. There wouldn't have been the opportunity to have any programming that had to be engineered. As I said, I went in myself and engineered from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m.
And I recognize it.
Hold on.
I just want to, because I think we only have a little time, Michael, so I just want to finish and then you can say whatever. So that's the one thing about that. But to your point, you make a good point with Sly Stone. And I understand, believe me, every night when my head lays down, I always worry, are we doing enough? Are we lifting up the issues? Are we lifting up Gaza? And if you notice, there's a program that we do, Liberation on Our Minds. Almost always it's about Gaza. Every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. And I don't see the censorship that you do on YouTube because, frankly, we have an agreement, for instance. We reached out to Electronic Intifada. And so this is why we're able to play them. We play their show, their podcast on our air. And they come from YouTube. They are on YouTube and you can subscribe on YouTube. There's another wonderful program that we play sometimes called The Thinking Muslim that contemplates all of these questions around Gaza, not only Gaza, but the response from Muslims and the Muslim world, the Arab world, to what's happening in Gaza. And again, that's a YouTube program. I subscribe to it. We bring it to our air because we feel like this is the most, you know, that Congo, Sudan, and what's happening right here in the city, how people are once again going to be displaced, how youth are being criminalized. All those things mean a lot. It's on my, you know, Muki can attest, it's on my heart and mind all the time. So I haven't seen that censorship on YouTube. In fact, I find a lot of material on Gaza on YouTube. And then the last thing I'll say is the YouTube channel, we already have that. So, you know, if staff decides they want to use something else, that's fine. I only mention that because the YouTube channel is what we have established. That doesn't mean we have to stay with that. So if you want to send me or Miyuki information on Rumble, I don't know Rumble, but if you want to send it to us, we're happy to look at it. We're not wed to any platform. We're just wed to making, you know, WPFW more robust and making sure there are many ways. That's why we're investing in our social media campaign, just to make sure there are so many ways that people can reach us that we'll have an overflow and an injection of new people.
Really quickly, Michael, 30 seconds, please, if you have a follow-up. Hearing none. Member Bruce, what is your question? And then we'll move to our membership coordinator report.
So I don't have a question. I do have a comment. As you can see, the picture behind me has Sly Stone. So I would like to, you know, just address the program director and say, I don't know if you have to apologize for Sly Stone programming in 11 hours. People who understand Sly Stone understand his effect on the culture of the culture at that time of the country, and his effectiveness in 4 records to do what people have not done in 24 records. I mean, the social and cultural relevance of Sly Stone is his inclusivity of having both a black and a white band at that time period, where we just, you know, right before the riots or right after the riots, just his social presence and about diversity in music. So, I mean, I don't think you have to apologize for it. He is a pioneer in music. If we are a music station, we should honor pioneers. We should honor Hendrix, even at jazz. All those things stem from the tree that is black music here, and African-American classical music that is jazz. So I just want to say I appreciate the programming that you've done recently. Keep doing a great job. You need anything, give me a call. I'm available. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bruce. And I share your sentiments about Sly Stone on a socio-political level as well. And the other thing is, it wasn't 11 hours. We did Sekou Sundiata's piece was 2 hours, the 51st Dream State. And then we began at 11 a.m. and went until 7 p.m. with the Sly Stone. So that's, I just want to clarify that.
Not a problem. Member Gordon?
Wait, let me set the timer.
Time yourself. Yes. Yep. Go ahead.
For about 4 or 5 years, Sly and them were like the American Beatles. They blew up Woodstock along with Hendrix. And Michael, I deducted 25 seconds from your time for disrespecting Sly.
All right. Let's go and hear from our membership coordinator, Sataria Joyner. Sataria, are you on this evening?
I am. Okay, there I am. Okay. Awesome. Good you. Evening, everyone. As always, thank you for having me here. One thing, first and foremost, I want to apologize to everyone. Kamal is very good about on every Friday before the meeting. He says, hey, can you submit your report by Monday? And I attempted to do that. And then it did not happen. There's a lot of technical issues happen on my end. I won't expose you to all of that, but just to say, I apologize that you did not receive that report in advance. I have since sent it to both, Kamal and Ellen to distribute to you. So that also means that any questions you have, I will definitely be here for them because you didn't have the opportunity to read it in advance. With that said, it's not that detailed what I have right now. So what we're looking at is, well, first, let me say this. We did our Jazz and Justice Festival. Thank you to everyone who came out, participated, volunteered, just showed up and enjoyed the day. I want to thank Katia specifically. The rest of us on staff have made kind of a commitment to say this every time it comes up. Thank you, Katia, because she did such a wonderful job of organizing this event, such last minute, getting people to perform, organizing the teaching tents, everything. So we, once again, I want to thank Katia for making sure that the festival was a success because it largely was her work that put the festival on. I want to thank other people like Kim Bay, got our vendors. I worked on food vendors. Yuki organized the whole thing, and I know that she was working on it, and really trying to give the staff, not give the staff too much and different things. But with all this, you know, thank you to Katia and thank you to everyone who came and participated and helped through that event as volunteers, as staff, as, you know, everyone. I had a great time. And hey, I'm not an outdoors person, you all. And so for me to be outside all day and what was, I think 113 degrees was the heat index. And, my little North Carolina soul just told me that this is why we left North Carolina. Why are we here in this heat? But I really enjoyed myself and I hope all of you who came or listened on air really enjoyed it. So I want to say that first. Second of all, as you know, we had our May drive. During our May drive, I want to give you a few numbers for May that are included in the report, but I'll give you a few numbers. So we came out of our drive with about 18,000 people who had not paid out of our a little over 214,000 people who had pledged. With that said, that put us at actually a little above our industry standard. That put us at about around 91% fulfillment straight out of the drive. I have sent out two sets of pledge reminders. We have not seen it grow a whole lot, but what I did realize is that those numbers also include our sustainers, and because they are paying over time, they're listed as unfulfilled. So as time goes on, we'll see those numbers go up. But we came out of the drive at around 91% fulfilled. During our all-staff meeting that we had a few weeks ago, Verna asked for a comparison of our drive days when we did our specials in May to previous drives. I have included that. I'll do a brief analysis of it now. So the first day of the drive was the James Brown special. So it was the first day of the drive, but it was the first Saturday of the drive. And that's what I used to make the comparison. The first Saturday of the drive, it made 14,000. But the first Saturday of May 2024 did 26,000. The first Saturday of May 2023 did 19,000. So that's what we're seeing with our James Brown special, but with our Malcolm X special, it was the third Monday of the drive. And so I was trying to compare third Mondays, first Saturdays to get a better kind of look at what we were seeing. So the Malcolm X special, which was the third Monday, it was $11,600 about $174, but $11,600 for the third Monday of the May 2025. The third Monday of 2024 was $6,750. Now, as I said, I ran into some technical difficulties. I do not remember what was happening May 22nd, which was the third Monday of the 2023 drive. But that drive did $14,500. I don't expect Katia to remember. I know I don't remember right off. But if you have any questions about what was going on, because that does feel like that's a big Monday. But we can look at what was going on at that time, what we may have been offering, or again, I'm willing to expound on these numbers if you wish. And you can always contact me at sjoiner@wpfw.org. We do have our upcoming drive in August. The dates are August 3rd through the 16th. The goal is $175,000. I want you to keep that in mind. $175,000 for those who are programmers. I want you to recognize that it does mean that the goals will be a little higher than we normally have for our mini drive in August. But I'm hoping that they will still be, I'm working to make them still reasonable and not, you know, we never want to make goals unachievable, but we want to make sure that people feel comfortable. But that's $175,000 goal for the August drive, which is August 3rd through the 16th. We are looking to you to sign up and volunteer. Answer phones. We're only doing the weekends. Some of you have seen our offices. They're very small, quaint, let's say. But we don't have a lot of space. And, you know, it does save the station a lot of money when we have people answer the phones, especially on the weekend when we have the larger consistent volume of calls. It's not that we don't have a lot of calls during the week, but the volume is more consistent on the weekends. And so therefore we like to staff the weekends. Please email Vinny and volunteers at WPFW.org and sign up for those days. And let's see. And as far as the festival was concerned, as someone who was there, yes, I will, and we will, we've been having debriefings around the festival. I'm sure Miyuki will speak about this so that we can come up with our best practices and how we want to move forward with the festival in the future. I heard Michael talk about how, you know, he hopes we have it more in the future. And that, as far as I know, is the plan, but different aspects of it may change, but we are looking to debrief, and we will be having meetings going forward. We've had some previously, but there will be more meetings going forward to assess it and really come up with how we can make it better and greater in the future. I have a thing where I just want to always say, look at the legacy listener circle. You guys are probably tired of hearing me talk about it, but once again, I strongly encourage you to read it on our website and join. All of you have been members of WPFW for years. You've all been volunteers of WPFW for years, and we're just asking you to take your love and appreciation and dedication to the next step. Just look at it online. We have the Legacy Listener Circle, and we're just asking you to take the next step. So that's it for me. Did anyone have any questions?
Thank you so much, Natalia. That is our membership coordinator report. I'll take a stack. I see member Avery Brown, member Williams in that order. Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Yes, Sataria, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to do that research. It allows us to put everything into context and get a clearer picture as to what our listeners are actually responding to in a better way. Also, just a quick word about the festival. One word, it was awesome. It was awesome. We always say how the listeners enjoy meeting the programmers. This programmer enjoyed meeting the listeners as well. You get to see who's out there. They're telling you about your show and what they liked and didn't like. but it's a very unique exchange. And yes, the more we can do that, the better. But thank you so much for your hard work, Sataria. That's it for me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you, Mark.
Member Williams.
Yeah, I just want to mention in the National Finance Committee last night, there was a report from the new GM in Houston. Was talking about some of the things that they were doing. And there was a lot of discussion about reaching out to former donors who had lapsed. And I know that's something that we have done in the past. But so there's a lot of talk sort of across the network about sort of adopting that sort of aggressively as a as a strategy for okay. building membership to go and reconnect with some of our old people who used to have memberships. And again, I know that's something that we've done, but just to mention that it came up again is something that's in vogue across the network at this point.
Well, thank you. I didn't realize that was something that other stations were working on. Mm-hmm. I'll call them and ask them what their plan is that they're putting into place. I know sometimes how we were reaching out to them before may not be the most effective way mm-hmm. to reach out to them now. Before, we would send them mailings on a regular basis. Our mailings are expensive, and now they're even more expensive as the cost of postage has gone yeah. up and materials has gone up. But I am interested in knowing how they are doing their program, because I would love that, because I do think that's an untapped group at WPFW for people who were giving, and, you know, whether it was because of how they were used to giving kind of went away, or because they just, you know, other things come up and you get distracted. So ways to bring those folks back into the fold. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, and that might be something that, you know, some of us as board members can be trained to, you know, if direct phone calling is part of something that people are finding is effective, then that would be a role, you know, something that, however the outreach happens, that's something that that we could be tap for as volunteers. So
absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Member Hirsch. And I think that is, yeah, go ahead. Member Hirsch, you're up.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank Sitaria for that excellent report, for your enthusiasm, your optimism, and your creativity. And I just wanted to mention that sometimes people will have a sustainer donation on a credit card, and then for one reason or another, the credit card gets canceled or hacked or whatever, and then they go out of service. So if we can, you know, follow up on that with those people, that might be really good. So anyway, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mike Hirsch. I appreciate that. And that is something I want to do. I was starting to try and do it, but we kind of ran into leaving K Street at the time I was working on it. But I do want to get you all and other volunteers to help me kind of reach out to folks as we see their donations expire or they stop going through for whatever reason. You know, people set them up and, you know, oftentimes tell people, oh, you're a sustainer, go until you tell us to stop or your card expires. But we want to keep them going even after that. So, you know, those calls to one, the people who just, for whatever reason, stop going through. And then secondly, like, as people are starting to expire, to reach out to them to encourage them to continue. So I'll definitely put you, Mike Hirsch, I will put you on that list. And, but thank you. That is definitely a good point.
Katia Stitt.
Thank you. I just, I know, thank you. I didn't know if you'd recognize me or not, because I'm not a board member, obviously. But I did want to, I should have thanked, and Sitaria reminded me, Verna and Wanda and yourself and Dennis and his wife. And forgive me, I know Tom Chase was there. There were a bunch of people who came to help, really, and made such a difference. I mean, you know, like every aspect of the festival being taken care of and the interactions people have with people is what lasts in people's minds. I mean, I think that's what made it a success. I think everyone who came to the festival interacted with programmers, got to talk to their programmers, the programmers got to talk to them, and they walked away feeling really good. But you all were a core that really helped us get things together, and I just want to acknowledge you here.
All righty, thank you so much. We've got a little bit of time, so our interim general manager is here. We'll hear from her at this time on her report. Miyuki, are you available?
Available, I think so.
Awesome. Let's hear from our IGM, shall we?
First of all, I just want to thank both Katia and Sitaria for being here and for presenting the reports. It's an exceptionally these Wednesdays are especially long for us, so thank you very much for you both being here. Thank you for your reports, and thank you, as Sitaria stated, Katia was able to pull together and produce a major festival in 3.5 weeks. And the time factor is all mine. Satari sort of alluded to why I did the things the way I did, but Katia, despite those challenges, was able to pull out a really wonderful festival. Sataria also saying had the same amount of time. She did more than food trucks, and she was there staffing that area with WPFW stuff all day. In addition to the people that Katia mentioned from the LSB, Dennis and Cynthia, Wanda and Verna, there was Kamau, who was there early and stayed till late, as well as Mariah. Mariah was there, and Martha Peterson came in and made a donation. It was all wonderful collectively. You all being there, you all helping us make make a major move is very much appreciated, and we couldn't have done it without you. So thank you very much for all of that. It was really in concert. Again, I let you all know, as soon as I let the programmers know, to please just hold the date and what was I sort of alluded was going on. I was on the fence all the way, whether we could finance it, whether we could execute it. And once we locked in, that's when I went full force, and that's when I asked more of you to participate. So those who you did, thank you so much. Those who you didn't, I understand, but hopefully you'll be at the next one, whatever the next one is that we do. But in terms of my report, I submitted my right now for the since June 17th. My major concern has been the fact that we've been broadcasting at low power. We had a rodent that got into our power box. Actually, let me go back a little bit. On Friday the 13th, a poor man jumped off from our transmitter to his death. And he was on there from Tuesday the 10th, and then he jumped off on June the 13th. His action forced AU, American University, to set up a security system to keep people be able to have access. What he did, he climbed on top of our rental area, and then he climbed up the tower from there. So they had to reconfigure, and they put in new security systems to keep everybody out. But because there was this, until they got the fence put in, they had security guard guarding or around that transmitter area 24 hours a day. Security guards saw a fire connected to our building, was able to call Pepco, and they cut our power off. The damage could have been so much more. Had that unfortunate man had not jumped off and had that rodent gone in and the security guard wasn't there, right now we're looking at almost $30,000. And had that man not been able to see what was happening with the fire, it could have been so much more damage. So it's terrible that they're in this much extra debt, but it's not as bad as it would have been. So right now I'm working with Tom. We're trying to figure out grants from different people that we think will be pro-PFW to try to get some technical support grant, because our transmitter system is about 15 years old, which is old for those things as things go. So there's going to be more repairs probably than less. So again, we're working on changing that dynamic. We touched on the Jazz and Justice Festival. We had a great turnout, the most we ever had at one time. And these aren't my projections. This is from Steve Coleman, who is the director of Washington Parks and People, and he's had a lot of experience doing this. He feels the total number for the day was well over 5,000. And at the time we had the most people was probably about 1,000 people total. We had projected we would get about 1,500. So we went way over the number that we projected. And the people that came, a lot of people came and stayed all day. Some people came through. Some people went to the Josephine Butler Center, never made it to the mall. And some people made the mall, never made it to Josephine Butler Center. So if we do the same collaboration again, we got to figure out how to make things more easy for people to navigate to do them both. But they really enjoyed the collaborators. We're Washington Parks and People. We also collaborate with Art and Noise Gallery, as well as an artist, as well as a couple people from our brigade, including Jordan Strudwick and Brian Burns and Abigail DeRoberts. She did a lot of coordinating with the Elder Circle, which is something that we are going to put on our YouTube channel that will also document the history of WPFW and just some of the Elder Circle information in general. It had nothing to do with PFW, but information that everyone should have access to. The other good thing about our festival was that we spotlighted the talent, the incredible talent that we have on board at PFW. And we wanted to celebrate our own talent, which we did, and they were just incredible. The engineering did a really good job. The only reason it was late, I made a decision the Friday before the Sunday event. We were supposed to be at the other side of the field. I was very concerned about the heat. There's less shade at the other side of the field. So I switched it from where it was supposed to be, where we originally had told everyone it's going to be, to the other side of the field, which in itself may not look like a big problem, but it was a huge issue in terms of the load-in. It took much longer to load in because instead of loading in right at the top of the mall, they had to load in at that point because that's where the handicap load-in was available, and they had to go all the way across the field to build everything. So that's why we were 31 minutes late. But other than that, we didn't have that many technical glitches. Everything ran incredibly smoothly. And again, I think the people were really, really happy. So it was a really good return. I talked about how great Katia did with the festival, and I said Sitari as well. I want you all, please just join me in congratulating Sitari. She has 25 years with WPFW, which is a feat in itself. She's the longest serving staff member at this juncture.
Ooh.
Congratulations, Zataria.
I know, right? Talk about long distance revolutionary right there.
Congratulations, Zataria.
Did she go? Is she still there?
No, no. I'm here. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Zataria, for your incredible work and dedication and passion and knowledge for this long, long time. So thank you very, very much for that. And I think that was it. I mean, but right now, I mean, even this morning, even tomorrow, everything is about trying to get us up to full power because luckily we have streaming. Streaming hasn't been interrupted. Streaming's doing fine. But it's really important that we do it full power, you know, for obvious reasons. And we just haven't been able to do it since that mouse came in. So thank you all very much for all your help again. We couldn't have done the Jazz and Justice Festival without you. And as Sitari implored, please, please plan to be on the weekends and man those phones because it saves us an incredible amount of money. It cuts our telemarketing bill almost in half by just having people there on the weekends. And so just 2-3 hour shifts, it makes a big difference. Sometimes it'll be slow, but sometimes it'll be busy. And you just save the station a lot of money. So thank you for that. That's all.
All right. Thank you. You've heard the report from the interim general manager. I'll take a stack. Any questions?
I said everything.
All right. Hearing none, we will move into our, thank you so much, management team, Miyuki, Katia, Sitaria. Thank you so much for that, those reports. Tom Chase is here. Tom will give us, his finance report. Go ahead, Tom.
Great. Thank you. I forwarded the detailed report, through Ellen, and I'll just summarize the high points. Overall, our operations were consistent with budget, except as Miyuki mentioned, the emergency at the tower that cost us an extra $6,000 in June for the emergency response, and then about another $20,000, at least that's the last estimate I saw, to get us back connected to the main that Miyuki mentioned. There may be some other costs in there with Pepco. There's been some issues. So that's where we stand right now. So instead of where we had been tracking exactly right on budget of about $77,000 net revenue for the year, right now we're looking at about $50,000 net revenue, all things, you know, otherwise being equal. In terms of the Jazz and Justice Festival, I can say we financially broke even on that. Kudos to staff, as everyone has said, and especially Miyuki, in getting a $15,000 diverse city grant to underwrite most of our expenses on that. There's also a $3,000 in-kind contribution that came from DC government. And I don't know exactly the office, but they supported the Soul Searchers performance at the show. And they were paid directly from that opportunity. So with that, we essentially came out even on that. So great event. And, you know, hopefully the upside on membership we'll see down the road. Again, I just want to mention, you know, there's still significant expenditures needed in resiliency at the tower. We need to connect to the backup power. There's staffing needs, there's fundraising software and more. We're exploring grants, as Miyuki mentioned, but, you know, we're hitting budget, but it's like the minimum operating budget. Just want to have folks keep that in mind. You know, this, as we've talked about previously, and I mentioned last time, in June, we made our first catch-up payment on health benefits for staff. And so that was $30,000, and we're looking to do that each month. Although this month, in consultation with the national office, we're holding that back because of these emergency expenses with the tower. So we're working to manage cash flow, yet we're still trying to keep up with all of our obligations over everywhere. As I mentioned before, though, we still have two outstanding payments from one with Verizon we're trying to work out, and one, some old music licensing issues. I just mentioned that to let you know we're still planning for paying those, even though we haven't got the invoices or resolved what the payment would be. Finally, last point I want to make is just to reinforce what Sitaria said about the goal for the next fund drive. I tried to weigh in on that and suggest we, you know, what we need is $175,000 to meet this budget, you know, minimum budget we've talked about. More than that is going to help us, but, you know, I want the programmers to know there's a reason that we're asking you to do this. That concludes my report, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you so much, Tom. You heard the finance report coming from Member Chase. I see Miyuki Williams and then Member Byfield in that order. Go ahead.
Thank you, Kamal. Thank you, Tom, for giving me credit for that grant, but I can't take credit for Baba, Brother Baba Ayize. He came to me with the grant, and I just signed it. But it was, you know, and that was sort of touch and go because we weren't sure we were going to get it, but it, God loves WPFW. It just came at the perfect time, and that's why we would move forward. But thank you very much. But Baba Ayize gets the credit for that.
Thank you.
Member Byfield. You're on mute, sir.
Yeah, Tom, great job. While you and Miyuki are here, how much is the transmitter, and what are we doing in terms of reaching out to try to raise additional funds for that?
Well, so, go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to say the transmitter, it isn't, the problem isn't the transmitter itself. It's the power going into the, basically where the electric meter is. The line from the main line into the building where the transmitter is what blew up. And so the meter is fried, and it's the main line into the building. Then there's a generator that's, we're trying to get an updated estimate on that. And that's one where, you know, we would get other, you know, multiple estimates and things. My gut feeling is that's probably on the order of $100,000. I think Miyuki had maybe a better sense on that, but that's a substantial one. That's to get steady backup power for when we lose, you know, the power from Pepco off the main. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Well, in one way it did, but I can say 5 months ago, I heard that we needed a backup generator, and there was a price on that. So
yeah, that price is over a year old, and I think we need a new price to actually say with confidence what it's going to be.
Okay.
Michael, yeah, that came up before. The price is from 2009. The plans for adding the generator have been available since 2009, and there's never been any money available to take the action. The estimated cost is about $15,000, and I had it in the back as just in case cases, money that, you know, if we Yeah, we were going to try to keep it, you know, available for us to have, but it didn't work out. And the money that, luckily we had it, because that's what paid for this emergency. In an emergency situation, as Tom explained, it was our power box. We had no power. Mo drove up from Delaware, arrived about 8 o'clock in the morning, was able to use his generator and power us on. The first $6,000 cost us to basically jerry-rig an extension cord from WAMU to our transmitter because we have no power in our space right now. The next $20,000 that he alluded to is the $20,000 that it would cost to reconstruct and make a new box so that we can have power. And that's where we are now. We've completed all that. We're waiting for Pepco to come back. They had a building, someone from the building department, Department of Buildings come and they did an inspection 2 days ago. We passed the inspection, but now Pepco is supposed to come. There was a miscommunication. The words that we use was reconnect. What we actually need is a reinstall. A reinstalled is a different crew of people, and they were supposed to – Mo waited at the transmitter all day to day, but they didn't come. The hope is that they'll come tomorrow, be able to reinstall the power, and then we'll be able to be at full broadcast again. But there are three things. There's an electrical connection that has to be done. That's about a $1,500 cost as, you know, given to me by Mo. The connect the generator, again, those are plans that have been in place since 2009 that haven't been fulfilled that we're trying to take care of. Is another $15,000. And then there's various other things, an old transmitter that Mo is trying to replace or address that's going to cost more. So Tom and I are working on specific grants that have to do with infrastructure that we believe that we will qualify for, and we're just going to start applying for them. We also have major donors that we can start approaching, but I'd rather try to do this via the grant way first. Because right now, again, because we haven't paid Verizon, because we are holding off on that, we're still okay because we have the money to pay for Verizon. So we're sneaking a little of that money to take care of other things. We're not carrying a lot of other extra debt. And again, we hope that Verizon will negotiate with us and make their bill lower. But meanwhile, we're still okay. But we have those major undertakings that we'll have to do, you know, undertake. And that's going to be either grants or get different company. Now, different companies don't just usually do for infrastructure, but grants or major donors. I don't want to approach major donors yet.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for Tom regarding his finance committee report? I have a quick one, Tom, if I could, real quick. So I think I heard you say that the national office is allowing us to forego some of that catch up, for the month in terms of healthcare. Is that now, still in your projection? In other words, you're projecting out that budget miss by about 20 grand. That still factors in us paying, that catch up within the subsequent months here coming up, right?
Yeah. Before the end of the fiscal year, we would be whole.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Just so we know, that wasn't in the budget at all. And for us to be able to come as close as we are on a bottom line basis with those kind of challenges, I think is outstanding work by management. So I just want to give you that praise for you all working that.
I agree. Thank you.
One more. Go ahead, Miyuki.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Come out. The other thing I wanted to say is normally this stuff would be handled by insurance. But we have liability, but we don't have comprehensive insurance via Pacifica. It's something they're working on. It's a priority, but when you don't have money and you have to do everything to five stations, it's not always easy to move. So hopefully soon we will have something like that and we'll be covered for these kind of accidents that insurance usually covers.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We have up. The Relocation Committee, chaired by Member Williams. Would you like to go ahead, Dennis, and give your Relocation Committee report?
Yep. So briefly, we met last month and are scheduled to meet again next Wednesday at 7:30, at which time we will have two primary areas of focus. The first will be reviewing the stakeholder survey. that was up for about a month, maybe a month and a half. Craig, I'm hoping you can maybe pull together at least some preliminary data before that, so that we can take a look at some of that, get a sense of where what folks would like to see, what they think we need, and what they think they want in terms of a permanent space, so we can have that as our kind of mindset as we move forward. Second major thing is to dig into there's a strategic planning document that Tom Chase and his chatbot developed for us that we're going to look at. A lot of it is looking at sort of the financial plan. And one of the key points will be for us to come up with try to land on a dollar figure, a goal of what we think we need to have in hand to move forward and how long it's going to take us to get there. And some kind of a fundraising plan for that. So that's probably going to be the most significant piece of that. But then along the way, over the next few months, you know, we'll be breaking up to look at different things like based on the responses from the survey, you know, maybe starting to look at different different areas of the of the city, to make some decisions about what kind of place we would be looking for, and we'll probably also need to sometime by this fall engage a new broker, because the broker we had before was primarily somebody who specialized in renting office space. So if we are going to be thinking about purchasing a building, then we'll probably need somebody different. So those are the things that we will be talking about next week, and sort of putting some plans and markers in place for our work over the next hope for the rest of the year. That's basically it.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Any questions for the relocation committee? Any questions? All right. Really quick. You said you were waiting. Maybe Craig will have some data for us. Do we have a preliminary count on how many responses at all, or anything from that? Have we checked on that? Or is that all going to be in the soon to come reporting?
Soon to come. I haven't looked at it. Sorry. Okay.
All right.
It's been like one or two a week showed up, so it's nothing.
All right.
Okay. So whatever we've got, if you can sort of get something together by early next week, so we can just have that to look at. It's probably more the anecdotal kind of responses will be the more interesting things, but we'll see.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much. Appreciate that, relocation committee.
And thanks to Craig and Tom for that.
For sure. All right. We have our outreach committee, chaired by member Diamond. Violetta, would you like to go ahead and give your outreach committee report?
Okay. Good evening. The outreach committee did not meet this month. I think this is the first time since I've been on it, but we do want to flag the 5K run, which is the second Saturday in September. I think that is September 13th. We need support from the LSB to help with the expenses that have to be paid, and we're thinking about some ideas like a t-shirt or whatever. Martha Peterson is the point person, and we just would look for you to support physically too by coming and attending. And I think that's about it. If there's somebody else on the committee that wants to speak to that, they're open to.
All right. Thank you, Diamond. Anybody else on the committee have something? If not, I'll take a stack for questions. Let me just say this while we wait for anybody who's formulating questions. Our signature event has been the 5K run walk. I do, you know, indict myself here. I have yet to attend it. I will be certain to be there this year, but we want to make sure that we maintain that event and hold it up as one of the hallmarks for what WPFW does in terms of community outreach. So I really want to encourage as many members as possible to really join Violetta and her committee to make sure the event is successful. You know, any way we can try and do that, if you can volunteer your time, obviously finances, some kind of marketing, you know, reach out to your networks, encourage them to participate, things like that would be ideal. Because I think in the last couple of years, if you run into a little shaky, kind of presentation there, I don't want to speak for the committee, but I do feel like they've wanted and asked for additional support. So let's go ahead and try and make sure that happens and give that to them this year so that we have a great event. My question would be, what are the big bucket items? And I see your hand there, Dennis. What are the big bucket items, Violetta, that are the expenses? Is it, I know there's an insurance component. And
right.
What else are we talking about there?
The paying the race director, and then for Bladensburg, you know, the space and, the food. We get donations, but you know, we provide food, water, and things like that. And, we had discussed, trying to do some t-shirts or something to help promote, but if you know, and to look for sponsors just for the event.
And does, I forgot, is there a fee to enter the 5K?
I believe that it was, and it might have gone up.
Okay.
Martha, are you here?
Yeah, it's $40.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That, so is there a way to, I'm just kind of throwing this out there, if you want to have a t-shirt component, would there be a way to kind of level that up and say, hey, 40 to get in, but if you want a t-shirt, it's 50 and you get a kind of, you know, some swag to go home with. I don't know if that's possible. If you looked into something like that, if you're talking about t-shirts, but because they kind of then end up sort of paying for themselves if you get enough of those in advance. Yeah. Something to think about.
Yeah.
All right. Dennis.
Yeah, just a thought in terms of sort of boosting attendance, because I know there was some of this last year. If you have any groups, you know, people that, you know, some people have folks that you, you know, walk with or, you know, exercise or dance class or something like that, or a book club, any kind of sort of, you know, social group of folks that you get together with, you know, once every couple of months or once every couple of weeks to do something active, you know, pitching this as a group activity. Can be a lot of fun, and it would really help the turnout.
Absolutely. If you're already in the exercise game and, you know, have a group that you're with, definitely want to promote it that way and bring folks in. Great suggestion. I see Miyuki, I see Martha, then I see Verna in that order.
I just wanted to suggest to you, Violetta, there are grants. There may be a regional grant at PG County, either for exercise or for being in the parks or things like that. You may want to look into, because one of the things in working with the collaborators that we did for the Jazz and Justice Fest, they knew of different grants that we would be eligible for that we could apply for. And I'm just saying there may be some small grants to help you with the 5K run as well.
Okay.
I don't know, but I'm saying you may be able to find some.
All righty. Thank you. I see Martha, then I see Verna in that order.
Yeah. If anybody knows of a company that would be interested in sponsoring t-shirts so that we could give them away as opposed to selling them, if you could let us know.
All right. Is member Curtis here? Bill Curtis? I know he does some printing and I know he did some what are those called? Like coffee mugs, things like that. I don't know if that's in your wheelhouse, but I know member Curtis does have does do some embroidering, I guess, that he may be able to handle that. I don't want to speak for him, but might want to reach out to him as well. Member Avery Brown, go ahead.
So this is a 5K run, but for those of us who can't run 5K, can you walk or stroll or crawl, whatever? I mean, I just thought I'd put that out there.
Yes, it's a run walk, I believe, is the event. You don't have to run it.
I ain't run yet. I've run about five times. I ain't run a step yet.
All right. Member Yowie, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Kamau. I just wanted to mention that the event includes other activities that our older citizens or members might enjoy. There's a Tai Chi demonstration that's done. I think yoga is also included. So it really is, a wide array of activities that people can take part in. So I encourage people to attend and participate.
Thank you for that. Martha, you want another bite at the apple?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I noticed someone put wheelchair in the chat. The race director stays until the last person comes from the walk, whether they walk or run. The race director will give you your score no matter what, wheelchair and all.
Beautiful. That's good to know. All right. Sounds like we've got a nice event teed up, so I want to thank the committee for that. Thank all our committees up to this point for the work that they've been putting in this year. It's been some ebbs and flows this year, but I think everybody's kind of held a course, so I appreciate that. Anything else in and around that before we get to our community comment? All right, hearing none, I will take a stack. Let me go ahead and hear from our community at this time. Timekeeper, three minutes on anybody's first comment, and then if we have another bite at the apple, depending on the numbers, you can go another three after that. It's 7:53, so we'll do 30 minutes, 30-minute window, and then add time if we need it up through 8:30. So anybody who wants to come forward, please do at this time during our community comment. Yes, Martha, please.
Yes, at the last LSB meeting, I asked if I could get the link that tells about how WPFW has the highest rating, and I guess within the PNB radio stations. And Vanessa was supposed to have given it to Ellen Carter. I'm wondering, did you get it, Ellen?
My apology, I did not do that. I contacted the people who I would get the information from. I haven't gotten it from them, so I haven't given it to Ellen. So my apology for that.
Do you have any idea when you'll be able to get it? I would love to see it.
I will follow up.
All right. Thank you for that question. Appreciate that. Anybody else from the community at this time?
This is Carol. I wasn't able to raise my hand.
It's all right, Carol. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I am in Berkeley at KPFA, and one of the things that we are working on, we have new news director, and some of us, because there have been so many urgent emergency situations, are wanting to see how we can work together nationally. And I I was at your meeting last time and talked about this a little bit, but it, I think it's going to be an ongoing project. And I compiled across the network the different news, resources that we have. And I saw that Sue is here today. And when I looked at your grid on your schedule online, I didn't see any times, and then someone I heard at your meeting today mentioned news headlines. So I wondered if Sue or someone could tell me what time your news headlines are and how long they are. And also, I think it would be great for the proposal we're working on to see if there are any programmers who are, you know, working on breaking news that they are able to, like, let's say there's, a huge event, fires or, you know, the immigration issues, something that comes up that people are able to kind of take it up immediately as breaking news, even within a public affairs show. So is it possible to ask that question?
Let me try to filter out. You asked about how long and when are the news headlines, and yes, is there a capacity for a breaking news event to break in during the day? I think our program director is still here. I'll let her start off, and then we can ask Sue as well. So, Katia, do you have any response on that?
Sue can give you the times because we just changed them. So they're 5 minutes long, and they're at the 55 of the hour. And I believe we start actually with KPFA's headline news at 12:55. That's the first one we play. Sue, correct me if I'm wrong. And then she can give you the rest of that schedule. In terms of it, you know, our programmers, like, I don't know what KPFA does now. Did you say KPFA or KPFK? I'm sorry. I thought you said A.
A. Okay.
Yeah, we don't have strip programming. We have different programmers in every slot, so people are on once a week. So what Sue and I do, though, I mean, Sue is very good. Like, if there is a breaking news story, she will reach out to me and say, hey, is it okay if I'm following this? And if is it okay if I cut in with whomever is on the air? And so then she, as news director, would cut into that program. Our programmers are not, because, you know, they're volunteers, they're once a week, it'd be very difficult for them to pivot in the midst of a show to whatever the issue was without having, you know, background given to them and all. And often their shows are already planned. But Sue, when we do have breaking news, Sue does make sure that she's following it, and she will break in to whichever program is on at that time.
Yes. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Let me hear from Sue real quick, and then I can. Do you want to add any color to that, Sue?
Well, no. I mean, I think Katia presented everything that's accurate, and she's right. At 12:55, Pacifica sends us a newscast that they've done, and it gives us time to keep. Up until now, the news department has pretty been one person with an extra person for a few hours. So as you know, we've had a job announcement open. So once we move ahead on that, we will be doing some rethinking and what more we could be doing. How do we serve the shows the best? How do we serve the station? Are these the right hours we should be doing newscasts? We're going to be talking about that. Go back to the drawing board a little bit. But our goal is to keep our listeners up at as many hours as we have the capacity to do with what is the latest news, and hopefully with some information that helps them put a bit in perspective. So it's a traditional headlines, but also with an added twist. What else would you like to know, Carol?
She's got a follow up. Carol, go ahead.
Thanks. Well, one thing is you start at 12:55, and then do you go throughout, which other hours are you doing?
We do every hour from that point, except for the 3:55. We're back again at 4:55. And some of these decisions are made in thinking about what the audience is throughout the middle of the day, but also the staff capacity that we have had up until this point in time. So we will be rethinking some of this.
Yeah, I understand across the network, everybody is struggling right now to try and figure out how to, you know, have their news get out with our limited resources. So one other question that going back to the public affairs shows. So I understand, I mean, when the raid started happening in Los Angeles, we at KPFA felt like that was a national issue, right? And so it isn't like maybe somebody would have to drop it, I mean, take it up immediately on their show, but it would be good to know what shows are doing what, so that, like, if there's a public affairs show that was covering immigration raids, then we would be able to promote that, you know, and let people know, oh, and one thing we're trying to do is do that with social media. And I know you guys are so far ahead of your social media doing the work you're doing. I love your Facebook videos. I always like them when I see them. So, yeah, that would be a question of if there may be, it wouldn't have to be, it could be within the same week to cover one of those crucial issues.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's some coordination that needs to be done there, but good to keep bringing that up.
Am I allowed to respond, Chair? Do you not want me to respond? I'm sorry.
No. Well, no. We're having a conversation. You can respond. I saw Sue's hand, that's why. So, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't see the screen. I'm sorry, Sue. I was just going to say about our public affairs programmers, mm-hmm. they really are very good about watching what's happening in the world and making sure it's amplified on their programs. Now, I cannot tell you, like, for instance, we have a show called the Latino Media Collective. They focus on what's happening here, but they also focus on what's happening through Central and South America. Do you know what I mean? Always from a social justice perspective. Yeah. We have shows that deal with Voices with Vision. You know, I would say their slant is more Pan-Africanist, but they also look at the immigration issue. They also look at Gaza. They look at, you know what I mean? Our programmers are really very, what's at stake with Verna Avery Brown. She's one of our board members here. They are really very connected to the world and what is happening and what needs to be lifted up. And they make sure that their shows are relevant and resonant. So I don't know if I can tell you, hey, on this day, so-and-so will be doing this, but I can tell you, I mean, based on if you've looked at our grid, if there's a specific question about what a show covers, I'm happy to tell you that, if that's a help.
Sure. Thank you.
Sue, you had something to add?
Yeah. Carol, as you know, you're talking about two kinds of programming. You're talking about the hour by hour, what just happened, you know, in the last, you know, hour to 12 hours. And you're talking about feature programming, which is that big context, fascinating, in-depth programming that we get from our public affairs programmers. Now, is there a way in which we could do better communication in advance of what we're doing and afterwards, after we've done it, which is the purpose of the newsletter? Yes, there is. And you will be hearing from that on it, but I got to emphasize it takes the participation of programmers. I would say that we don't even have half of the public affairs programmers sending us a simple summary of what they did that week. So we're going to be one of the things I want to do, and I Katia discussed it with her, is do a meeting with programmers that actually goes through how can you participate? How can we share information? What will encourage you to share information? And then we'll figure out what to do with it.
Thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate it. It's really helpful.
Great. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, not a problem. All righty. Anybody else have from the community have a comment, question, concern? This is your time to address your station. what I'll do is, while we wait, I'll allow our program committee chair, Member Sanders, to give us a brief report, and then maybe that'll trigger some questions and come back to our community comment. Minerva, are you available?
Good evening, Kamal. Yes, I'm in the meeting, and I did not send a report because we have not met as a committee, and there have been some personal issues that have come up that have taken me off my game, and I did put information together, and we'll be going through it in our next meeting, which would be the fourth Monday of July, and the information will be going out to the individuals we have listed as members of the committee, because as we begin to move with the changes that have taken place with Pacifica, we would be looking at how programming and the focus that we would be looking at as a committee, just looking at what is identified in the new bylaws as to what we do and how we would move forward with that. And as I continue to state, we're not trying to be the program director. We're not trying to tell staff or management or anyone what to do, but we are looking to look at the grid and other things and see the things that were put in place years ago that we need to find out, are they still viable, or are there suggestions or ideas that we can bring forward to an LSB meeting and to management to see how things will look for the future. I will also say that it wasn't in a program committee meeting. It was a different meeting where it seems that some individuals felt it was their pleasure to take, to begin saying what I call mean and evil things to me and about other people. But, and it was during the same time that we had the young lady talk to us about working together as a team. And right following that, and I did lose my composure and definitely brought myself to the level of the other individuals. And I would ask, when you come to program committee meetings, again, like I said, it wasn't a program committee meeting where this happened, but when you come to program committee meetings, let's stick with the positive things. And anything that individuals feel like they want to say about individuals to individuals, I'm going to ask that you not put it on the thread for the program committee, nor that you'd begin to attack people. That's just what I'm going to call it. Because if we're going to be here for the station, when I come to these meetings, I don't come to defend myself or go through defending other people. I'm coming here to look at what does WPFW need and how do we work as a group to make those things happen. So, you know, and I did get off track because, as someone told me, sometimes my brain does move faster than what I'm saying. And I do send out messages that probably shouldn't have been said, but I just want everyone to know I've listened tonight, very calm meeting, and a lot of kudos being given to different people for things they do. And I would like that we work to do the same for everyone. And definitely I couldn't have a better vice chair than Mike Hurst, because he's kind of kept me in sync on some things, and he does his best to help me. And I do apologize to you, Mike, for not keeping you in the loop when I wasn't able to make the last meeting. But all of those things will be addressed in the program committee meeting. For those who want to come and actively take part in coming up with the things that the committee would be working on. Okay? So I'm going to leave it with that.
All right. Thank you so much. I see there's some hands. Before I take those hands from the delegates, want to know if there's anybody from the community like to address that, what our program, the chair of our program committee has said Member Sanders, or anything else that's on your mind. So we're still taking community comment at this time. And if there's anything from the community that would like to be addressed, good or bad, as Minerva mentioned, you can be critical or you can give us a little praise or give management some praise, however you like to do it. So I see Martha. Let me go to Martha. I'm going to hold off on you, Sue, Mike, and Member Byfield, the two mics. So while Martha is our community member. So go ahead, Martha.
Yeah, I did want to commend.
2 minutes, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Martha.
Still three. Yeah, 3 minutes.
Three minutes, okay.
Three, yep. Mm-hmm.
I did want to commend some of the programmers who pay tribute to Sly and the Family Stone. One of the programs was on Friday, I believe. It was quite, it was almost all day. But the only thing is, some of the public affairs programs or the news programs were preempted, and I usually look forward to them. And I just think it was a little bit long for Sly and the Family Stone because one of the other programmers had done a tribute also. So I think that that needs to be addressed and just make sure it doesn't happen again.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else from the community have a comment, question, concern? Member Hirsch, go ahead while we wait.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to say a few things, but I think Katia might want to respond to that last remark about the programming.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see your hand.
I
just wanted, I don't know, Martha, if you heard my report earlier when that question came up, but we go to music, and it was actually from, let's see, 11, so it was 8 hours of programming for that. We did say Kusin Diata the first two, but we go to all music programming so that our union staff can actually have a union day off. And so I ended up engineering the morning so we could play the Seku Sindiata. And then we had music programmers who can engineer for themselves so that our two, we only have two engineers, could actually have the union holiday. That's why there are days where we go all music so that they can have a holiday because they also deserve to have their union holiday. And I don't know if you heard that earlier. I explained it when the question was asked earlier, I think by Michael Byfield, maybe. That's it.
Okay. So it's a function of the holiday and making sure staff is or the place is staffed adequately and appropriately. Member Hirsch.
Yeah, I want to thank Martha for appreciating the public affairs programming, and we're very proud of all of that. And I also want to thank Katia for stepping in and doing such incredible work to give our engineers some time off, some well-deserved time off. Regarding real quick the comments from Minerva, I'd like to point out that with very few exceptions, the heckling that she got that was very rude was not from LSB members from DC, at least. They might be LSB members from somewhere else. And I'd like to praise you, Mr. Chairman, for running a very smooth meeting today. And I'm looking forward to having meetings with decorum like that. And I really regret when people, usually not from our LSB, come here and behave that way. It's not appropriate. And I would like to do anything I can to help maintain decorum if possible. Real quick, add on to the programming committee meeting. We are looking into some guidelines and rules that we've uncovered from quite a while ago, as well as some instructions in terms of a mission statement for the programming committee. And we've drafted a stab at that we think is pretty inclusive of what our mission should be moving forward. And hopefully the LSB will look that over, make any constructive or maybe not so constructive criticisms of it so we can make it the best we possibly can. And then we can improve that. And one last thing, I'd just like to remind everybody, that we are hoping to get the LSB programming on the air. We don't have our hair on fire about it, but we'd like to move towards it. And I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for taking some initiative in terms of guidelines to make that program really what it could be and should be. And when we get that going, I really look forward to listening to it and participating in hosting that. And I think it's a great opportunity for the LSB to communicate with the community what we're up to and solicit help for all the projects that everybody's been talking about. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Member Hirsch. Member Byfield.
For the last 8 months, I've been saying this at every meeting. The program committee, and this is to the vice chair and the chair of the program committee, that the program director is not in attendance. Now, we recently had a new addition on Monday. I think it's in replacement of Monday morning QB. I don't know whether or not the programming committee would have participated in that or not. However, I do love the program, the replacement, and I commend the staff for making that change. I listened to it and I did enjoy it. However, as a Democratic-minded person that believe that many different heads have an input, which is what I think the program committee represents, that I certainly would like to see that initiative being taken by the new leadership. I guess that's Mike Hirsch and and Minerva, including our esteemed program director, in the near future. I just wanted to make that statement. I know every meeting I bring this up for the last 8 months.
Thank you, Member Byfield. Member Leon.
Okay, good evening.
Evening.
Well, not a good picture. So, can you hear me?
We got you, sir. Go ahead.
All righty. So regarding the programming committee not meeting, first of all, let me say I was a former chair and a member of the programming committee for several years, going back as far as 2011, 2012. So I understand the challenges of chairing a committee. But having a vice chair, Mr. Hirsch being a vice chair, you should have still been able to have a meeting. That's what the vice chair does if the chair can't be there. So I'm not understanding why that didn't happen. Secondly, criticism isn't always an attack. Criticism is what it is. It's criticism. The delivery sometimes might not feel good. But you know, I look at it as criticism, and we all need criticism sometimes. The bylaws speak on the LSB's role in programming. So if you want a general understanding of the relationship between the LSB and management, directly the program director, the bylaws speak on that. So that's all I wanted to say.
No, appreciate that, sir. Thank you so much. Tony definitely has some tenure here, both on the board and with the station, so appreciate those comments. I see Minerva. Go ahead, Member Sanders.
Let me just share with everyone that basically the vice chair that I have is a very good person through all of our meetings, whether it's program committee or any other. He's always on a very positive tiff about what's going on. And it was just, it was so sudden, so urgent that I didn't have time to speak to anyone. I was on a plane. So basically, I'm not going into my personal affairs with anyone. But there are times that there may not be a meeting. And as far as my vice chair, as I shared with him, we will be working closer together. Because, yes, he could have conducted a meeting. But basically, the way what took place, it didn't leave me time to talk to anyone, not even my job. I took care of what I needed to do. So if some feel that's selfish, then it was such. But it's well taken, his statement about you use your vice chair. For the longest, I didn't have a vice chair. But now we do. And that's why I appreciated Mike and thanked him for his patience and told him he didn't have to apologize for a thing. This was something I dealt with. So, you know, I heard what he said. And when you talk about criticism, there's a way that you talk to people and treat people. That was not just people who were not part of our LSB. I could reach out and call some names from our LSB, but I'm not going to that level. And I hated that I even put myself in that venue when we did have the meeting that took place. But basically, anything that's said, don't think I don't hear and don't understand what people are saying and doing. But I do my best to be what I've always been taught. You treat people the way you want to be treated. And that didn't take place. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Member Sanders. Anyone else from the community? Please, we still have some time before we move on to our next point on the agenda. But I'd really like to hear, I know we still have some community members here that longtime listeners and contributors. And it's an opportunity now, of course, we have this each month, but an opportunity now to speak up and have some input into your community radio station. So taking all callers at this point. Anyone else from the community? All right. Well, I'll take a moment just to kind of summarize where we've been. So this evening, I think we've had a really solid report on the prior month's activities for the station. Looks like the Jazz and Justice Festival was a success. I took an opportunity to write down some of the names of the folks I saw there from the board. So please speak up if I missed you. But I know Verna was there. I saw Wanda, Mariah, Dennis, Tom, David, got to meet David's son as well. I saw Sue, I saw Ellen, and Michael Byfield was there. So I just want to make sure I recognize each of you all taking the time out to come by on that very hot, someone mentioned how hot it was, very hot Sunday in the district. There was plenty of water, though, so the setup was well done. And then also I want to speak to the finances. I know those of us who were here at this time last year, you know, we were digging ourselves out of a major hole. I just want to really, heap some praise on both, you know, really first of all, the programmers' ability to kind of ratchet it up to really understand, the mission at hand and to take the bull by the horns and start to raise funds in a manner to get the station back on track. And for management to really identify and understand the budget and clear out the fat, so to speak, not spending money on frivolous things, wasteful spending, really locking that down. So I really want to thank management on that point. And then ultimately some of the oversight, bringing Tom in to really understand the finances, so on and so forth. So all of that really speaks to a 1 year plus bid in kind of transformation, I feel like, out of what was a substantial financial hole. So I just want to kind of give the praise to both management and also to the local station board for understanding the task at hand with where we were. Of course, all of our committee chairs as well, maintaining their committees and working as best as they can with the resources that they have. I see Member Pinchback. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I wonder if we could use these remaining minutes to allow the candidate, Ms. Pinckney, to make a statement regarding her candidacy. She is the only candidate at this point. We would like to have an opportunity to maybe talk to her and maybe ask a few questions if that's possible.
Yes, I was waiting until 8:30, but you know, we wanted to kind of give some space just to those remaining minutes, but we will have an opportunity to hear from Ms. Jeanette Pinckney with her nomination and her acceptance of a nomination for the open listener member delegate for the board. So we'll do that here shortly. But thank you, Ron. Okay. Appreciate that. Member Leon and then Member Avery Brown. Tony, your floor is yours, sir.
Mr. Chair, I just saw a notice, I think last week, towards the end of last week, about nominations for the vacant delegate seats. And so my question is, was that the first time that the nominations went out? And how long will the nominations be open?
Yeah, no, the decision was last month. We, at the last regular meeting, we determined that we'd open the nominations up. The nomination time was to be 3 weeks. There was supposed to be a PSA, and I know Member Sanders ran into some personal issues. I don't think that PSA was ever produced, but there was supposed to be a PSA soliciting nominations. So it's been there now for this would be the fourth week. But you're saying so. Your question is what, that you'd like it to remain open, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I would propose that we leave it open for one more month or 4 weeks, however you want to name it. Have the PSA go out like it's supposed to, and give people an opportunity, you know, give others an opportunity who may not have been at the meeting, like myself, to you know, to reach out to the community for interest.
All right, let me try to give you an assist on the motion. So it's been moved by Member Leon that the nominations for the open listener delegate seat remain open for another 4 weeks with a PSA being produced soliciting nominations. Did I get it right?
A PSA and something on the station website.
PSA and a posting for a listener nomination on the website. All right.
Yes, sir.
Ellen, did you get most of that?
Yes, I did, but I'll check with him and then, okay.
Yeah, we'll clean it up. But the motion essentially is to leave the nominations open for 4 weeks, given the time for a PSA and posting on the website. Is there a second for the motion?
I second
David
Chiasi.
It's been seconded by Member Chiasi. Any discussion? I see Member Byfield. Go ahead. You're muted, Michael. Member Byfield.
Yes. I want to argue in favor of bringing the candidate if we vote on it tonight, to join the board if it's successful. And reason being, we're in July, which is what I mentioned our last board meeting, and whoever that person is, I would want to give them the benefit of participating and being a full member of the board rather than drag it out for another 3-4 months. So I want to appeal to the people who believe that we need to stretch it out for another 30 days, that we don't have that kind of time in this environment that we're facing. Thank you, Vice Chair.
Thank you. What? That was a motivation against the motion, I think, is what I heard. Does anybody want to motivate for the motion? Tony, your hand is still raised. You want to motivate for the motion?
No. I've already made my motivation. Thank you.
Excellent. Anybody want to motivate for the motion on the floor?
Yes, David Chiasi.
Yes, Member Chiasi, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, if a PSA never went out, I just think that's not fair to the public. I think, you know, had it gone out, and you know, maybe it was on the website, people had enough chance to look at it, that's one thing, but there was no PSA. So I feel just in the interest of serving the public, we need to give it more time. That's it.
All righty. Thank you. Any other motivations against or for?
Chair, for some reason, I can't figure out how to raise my hand on this device I'm using tonight.
Member Dixon Briggs, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So basically, I agree with Member Byfield. In terms of the time that's remaining in this year to serve. So it's unfortunate that the PSA did not go out. That is unfortunate. But we're looking at leaving that out for another month and then voting when in August. So the person would have, what, September, October, just a few months left in the year in order to serve. And I think that would be unfortunate for whomever we vote on to have such a small amount of time to serve on this board. So I support moving forward, at least hearing from the candidate who is here and has accepted the nomination or accepted the invitation to be nominated. And moving forward.
So you're in opposition. Okay. So anybody that would like to thank you for that. Anyone want to motivate for the motion? I'll take one more and then we'll try and settle this matter. I see, Member Sanders and Member Leon in that order.
Okay. The write-up was started. I do still have it. And I agree with Tony that it is not fair to just have one person. We need to reach out. And I also want to say anybody taking this seat will be in this position through 2026. It will not just go until the end of the year. The part of what was done in the changes to the bylaws states that all of the board members that are in place now will be in place through 2026. So it's not just until December. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that was a motivation for it. Anybody? I'll take one more in opposition if you have something to say. If not, I'll let Tony finish his motivation and we can move forward. I see Member Well, let's hold off on that, Member Byfield. You had a bite at the apple. Anybody else want to motivate against the motion? Before I go back to Member Leon to finish up, Member Byfield, are you saying anything new here, or just is this you kind of? What are you saying? Go ahead.
No, I'm going to withdraw my statement. Okay.
All right, Tony, let's go ahead and finish up, and then
Yeah, I was just going to say if the delegate was only going to serve till the end of the year, I withdraw my motion because that really wouldn't be enough time left if we extended it another month. That's all I was going to say.
Okay. Sounds like what?
Go ahead. I'm willing to withdraw the motion. You know, if it makes it any easier,
it's through next year.
Yeah, the right now, what is what Member Sanders just explained is that this particular seat will be in effect through 2026. So you would be here through 26, where the next election would take place. So not this year, 25, but all the way through 26. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Very well. Member Chiasi, and then we'll see if we have a vote. Go ahead. David, you're on mute.
Is the motion still on the floor?
Yes. Tony was just saying if he was given a conditional response, his condition is not met, so the motion is still on the floor.
Great. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Any opposition to the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Ellen.
Yes, we'll take a vote.
I'm going to ask that you call the roll on the vote. I'm going to state the motion again if I can quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
The motion coming from Member Leon is to have the nominations for listener, member, delegate to remain open for the next 4 weeks with a PSA and posting on the WPFW website soliciting for nominations. We're going to remain open for 4 weeks with a PSA and posting on the website soliciting for nominations. A vote yes means we keep it open for 4 weeks. A vote no means that we move forward with our nominees as we have them currently. Go ahead and call the roll.
Okay. Verna?
No.
Wayne?
He left.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see him.
Okay. Michael?
Which Michael?
Byfield. I'm sorry, Byfield. Sorry.
You're always first, brother. You get the last name.
Okay, Michael Byfield.
I hear you, man. Yes, I'm in opposition to the motion.
So you're no?
That's correct.
Okay. Bill Curtis.
Yeah, I'm a no on the motion. Thank you.
Violetta.
Abstain.
Vanessa?
Sorry, no.
Sue?
No.
Robert?
No.
Craig?
No.
Michael Hirsch?
Abstain.
Okay. And thank you both Michaels for being nice. Julie?
I'm a yes.
Okay. Arthur?
Arthur had to step away. He had an emergency. I don't think he came back yet.
Okay. David?
Yes.
Ambrose?
No.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay. Mariah?
Abstain.
Ron?
No.
Minerva?
Yes.
Michelle?
No.
Wanda?
Abstain.
Dennis?
No.
Okay. The no's are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, wait, somebody has something to say?
No, go ahead. The floor is yours.
The no's are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Who's saying 12?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Let Ellen
eight,
count it up.
9, 10, 11. Then they have several abstentions. So the no's were, I have 11. Somebody said 12.
No, just call your number. If someone has a issue, we can go back.
Okay, go back.
Call your number.
And so the yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4. Four yeses. And the abstentions are 1, 2, 3. Okay. So 12 no's. I mean, 11 no's.
All right. The no's carry. Now, is there someone who says there's a different count?
They're saying it's 12. Who said?
No, I retract that. I recount it. But I do have four abstentions.
Four abstentions. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes. You were on that. No, I do have four. I had four abstentions. I had four.
All right. All right, so the yeses?
The yeses were 3.
All right. So the motion does not pass. We'll move forward with the nominations as we have them currently. And that brings us to this moment here. Current nominee is Ms. Jeanette Pinckney. You all should have received her brief statement. She was nominated by member Avery Brown. I will allow Ms. Pinckney now currently to kind of give us timekeeper. Can you give her 2 minutes to give her a opportunity to give her a brief synopsis of her association with the station and why she would like to be part of the local station board? So,
Chair?
Yep.
Should I introduce her as the person that nominated her?
Oh, would you like to? Sure, go ahead. You can tee it up. Go ahead.
Okay. Jeanette Pinckney is a native Washingtonian and a longtime journalist. Now she's semi-retired. She has worked in print and broadcast for nearly 3 decades. That includes having anchored the Pacifica Senate hearings, which were produced by our very own Bill Wax for the Pacifica Network, as well as having anchored event coverage for WPFW. Jeanette is a longtime listener and sustaining member of WPFW and looks forward to the possibility of helping to support the station in whatever ways she can as a member of the local station board. I was really impressed when I had a conversation with her recently, as she spoke of events and individuals at the station that I could barely remember. And I've been associated with the station for nearly 30 years. So I really think she will add a great deal to this LSB. Thank you.
With that said, remember, she's Ms. Jeanette Pinckney. Please go ahead and give us your thoughts.
I think Verna just said everything. I'm joking. No. Everything that she said was so, and I have, you know, over the years when the station was on 8th Street, done, you know, a fair amount of work. And as she said, I have worked in print and broadcast at CBS and NBC and WETA and some small station in Minnesota where I started as a reporter, and as a producer on the Donahue Show, as a producer at the a supervising producer at the South African Broadcasting Corporation in Johannesburg, where I lived for 4 years. And other than when I've been out of the town or out of the country, I've been, you know, an avid listener and a supporter. She said I make my monthly contribution. And I just see it as a way to give back to the station.
All right. Thank you so much. You all have heard from the nominee for the listener member delegate position on the local station board, Ms. Jeanette Pinckney. Are there any questions for Ms. Pinckney at this time? Member Leon, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, I'm going to ask what I always ask. What are your favorite programs? What programs do you think are most important at the station, music and public affairs side?
I was going to say, I think those are two different questions. You know, what are my favorites? And the whole Saturday and Sunday lineup, I'm a regular listener to. I hate to start calling the names of shows. I was going to say Miyuki Show, but because if I do that, then there's others I'm leaving out. But, and I do listen to the news when I'm able to. My schedule doesn't always permit it, but, yeah, it's, there's really nothing on the station that I feel like, why is time being wasted on that? But the weekends and then the live coverage. I don't remember if Verona mentioned this, but I anchored the coverage of the Women's March, a few years ago for the station. I think those sorts of live broadcasts that, that would not otherwise be covered or certainly not covered from the same perspective are really important.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for nominee Pinckney? Member Goodwin, you have the floor.
I'm not sure I have a question, but I do want to say I've known Jeanette for a long time. We've worked on projects here and there. And I just want to say she has always impressed me as someone with an incredibly generous spirit, you know, to whatever it is she's working on, the bigger idea. She's totally committed to what that is. And I think her her skills and her standards as a journalist are exceptional. And I think we'd be lucky to have her. Jeanette, I will ask you a question. When you think about being a member of the board, how specifically would you hope that you could, what you could bring to us or what would you like to see us take on?
I wish I could give you a specific answer, Sue, but I really can't because I don't know enough about the composition of the board, who does what. That's why I said, I'm willing to serve in any capacity that I can. I'm certainly, as you know, someone who always speaks my mind. So, you know, as are obviously many other members of the board of the same inclination. So I can't say there's a specific task that I would do well, but I'd be willing to help wherever I could.
Thank you. Member Byfield.
Thank you.
Member Sanders in that order.
I hope that got heard. Okay.
Oh, I missed you. Sorry. Did you say something? I'm sorry.
I just said thank you.
Oh, yeah. 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 My big mouth. Member Byfield, go ahead.
I want to remain consistent. The last person, which was Tom Chase, the question I asked him, what's your favorite sports team in the area?
uh, sports is my blind spot. I really don't follow sports.
Oh, no, we can't do it. That's it.
Sorry. Gotta tell the truth.
All right. So. Fair enough. Member Sanders.
Yes, Miss Pinckney, was that the last
name? Yeah, you can call me Junette.
Okay, Junette. That's an
Junette.
Nice name.
Junette.
I'm sorry. Junette?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, I was looking. I didn't see your name anywhere, but I'm sure I have your write-up and everything somewhere to go back and look at it. I see it now. Let me just ask you, coming on the board, are you ready to bring your energy and your individual thoughts about things that you would like to see or maybe suggest to the station so that it's not, you're not, well, let me ask this. Are you a yes person? Are you coming?
No.
There you go. That's what I needed to hear. Yeah.
Not at all. And, you know, I know a couple of people on the board, friendly. I'm not somebody who would say, oh, well, Sue thinks this is the way we should do it, so I think that's the way we should do it. I'm somebody who's always open to.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, you want me to be okay. to get along? I believe there should always be open and honest debate, and then decisions are made based on what the majority concludes is the best way to go.
Okay, that's my question, that, you know, people that come on this board, they're willing to speak their mind. They're not just doing it because someone else wants them to go in a certain direction. Okay.
Not at all.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Member Nyawi.
Thank you, Kamau. Hello, Miss Pinckney. I heard you say South Africa. I'm not sure if I heard you say you work there, but I was just curious and wanted to know a little bit about the work, if you were doing work there in South Africa.
Yeah, I did. I lived and worked in South Africa for 4 years. Initially I worked for the training department, training essentially the black folks that they had hired but hadn't taught how to do anything. And so they were sort of sitting at a desk, not doing much, or whatever they did, they hadn't really been adequately trained. So I did that for a few months. And then I worked as the supervising producer of a show called Libone, which means the light, which was a focus on women in business in South Africa. And so we would go out and do profiles of women, everything from an executive to somebody on the street selling nuts, because it's all business. And so, yeah, lived and worked there for 4 years. Just before that, I had been working at the Phil Donahue Show as a producer. And when that show ended, I moved to South Africa. Well, I moved first to Zambia, then I moved to South Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you. Member Williams.
I would just like to suggest that if there are no objections, I would like to move that we accept Ms. Pinckney by acclamation and offer the right hand of fellowship.
Second.
It's a motion from Member Williams, seconded by Member Diamond, that we, if there's no objections, to accept Ms. Pinckney through acclamation. Any opposition? Hearing none, motion passes, and we will accept Ms. Pinckney as our new listener member delegate for the year. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So this is through the end of 2026 is what I understood you be saying earlier, right?
That is correct. This will go through this time next year. We'll be gearing up for elections. So, yep.
Thank you. Right.
Thank you. Welcome. And we'll get you situated, Ellen, our secretary, and myself, the vice chair is Member Gordon, and we'll connect with you offline and kind of get you some materials to get you started, set of bylaws, so on and so forth, okay?
Okay, wonderful.
All right, thanks now.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard, Miss Pinkney.
Thank you, Mr. Pinchback.
All right.
So should I sign off and you all continue the meeting?
No, no. I would recommend you stay and okay. Listen in and yep.
Okay, great.
We'll be
in it now.
Yeah.
And find out what you just walked into.
All right. So with that said, we want to move into our next order of business. A little early on it, but I think we're okay. The PNB directors. So we have Hewitt, Pinchback, Sanders, and Williams. That's alpha order. Starting with Hewitt, did you have anything you wanted to share as PNB director with the board at this time?
3 minutes.
Three minutes,
here.
Yeah. Three.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't even need remotely that much time, I don't think. I don't think there's a lot to share just because ordinarily the PNB would have met on the first Thursday of the month, but this month that was July 3rd, and the PNB decided to postpone that meeting to this Thursday. So we don't meet till tomorrow. So and at the June meeting, you would have gotten a report on the June PNB meeting. So I certainly don't have anything to add this month.
Okay. Thank you. Pinchback.
Sorry about that. The only thing I would report is that the PNB did approve a measure that that will essentially put a moratorium on in-station meetings, in-person meetings, because of insurance issues. Whether those issues will be resolved or not remains to be seen. But there was concern that putting people at risk without they're meeting in person and putting anybody at risk without insurance puts the foundation in jeopardy. So I know that there's still some discussions about that, but as of right now, there will be no more in-person meetings unless they're approved by Civica National, the executive director. That's it.
All right, Member Sanders, anything you'd like to offer for a director's report?
Can you hear me okay?
You're a little low, but coming in.
Okay. What I would like to do is to ask the members of the LSB, if possible, to dial into the PNB meeting on tomorrow evening, because I understand there was a meeting on July the 3rd, and the courts had said they would take the information under consideration regarding the interveners. And we'll be discussing that tomorrow night and the next steps that the PNB and also the LSBs will begin working on as we move forward to get ready for the changes that we have in place now. So anyone that can, you would go to the Pacifica.org website and go to calendar, and it should give you the information or the parts of the meeting that will be open for the public. There may be a closed session as well, but at least we'll all be able to hear the information at the same time. And then hopefully from that, the LSB will come back together and begin talking about how we move forward to take on the new roles that have been identified for us. So that's what I'd like to share with everyone. And their meeting starts, this is late, their meeting starts at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, since we are 3 hours ahead of California. Thank you.
One second, I see a hand. Member Kiyasi has his hand.
Okay, I'm maybe I'm out of the loop on this, but it was my understanding we were waiting for a court decision. And is it true that the court decision has been made? And does that mean that the challenge was lost? I'd like some clarification on that.
Anybody from the direct? I think I hear Member Sanders. Go ahead.
Yeah, David, that's what they're going to be discussing tomorrow night. The decision from the courts has come down, and people have been able to go on the website for the courts to look at information, and you may go and see it there, but at least this will be an opportunity for Pacifica to share it with the the directors and anyone else that's listening in. You'll be able to find out what's going on so that it's not information you're getting second and third hand. So that's what it will be about tomorrow night. And then from there, whatever the ruling is, we'll get it back to the LSB and Kamal. And the secretary will be sending that out. And like I said, it just means we would move forward and begin to put together how we think WPFW will look going forward and putting together how we would begin to work and deal with our main focus, which would be fundraising.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Ron,
go ahead quickly. I have one more director to hear from, and then Member Leon has his hand. So go ahead, Ron. Did you have something? Ron?
Will that discussion be held in open session, or will this be in a closed session?
Yes.
Open session. Okay. I didn't quite hear all
of that. Oh, you mean at the PNB, you mean?
Yeah, Ron, can you say that again?
At the PNB, I don't know.
Yeah, could you?
What's your question? Julie, I can answer that question.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, please.
It will be an open session because the court decision already happened, but the attorney is going to come and explain it, I think. So, I think that's why, Minerva's reticent to, kind of speak out of turn. Let's hear from the attorney first.
Gotcha. Member Leon, and then we'll get to Director Williams' comments and report.
Okay, so are you saying that the July court hearing and ruling has occurred?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Quickly, Member Bruce.
Just a quick question. When will those bylaws take effect? Are they effective immediately?
I'll defer to the directors on that. I'm not in
those meetings. Director, Director Sanders was talking.
Yep, go ahead.
They're in effect now.
Okay. In effect now, sir. Everybody wants to jump in. Member Tingling Clemens, go ahead, and so I can get to Mr. Williams, and we can have a little bit more discussion. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. It sounds to me like I'm hearing contradictions in these answers. That I thought that I heard from somebody that the court had taken it under advisement, and then I hear from Director Sanders that this decision has already been made. So if it was been made, then there was nothing taken under advisement? Or are you saying that you got some information ahead of time from the court after taking it under advisement that then was going to be revealed to us tomorrow night?
No, what it is that the actual explanation of what has happened and occurred on July 3rd will be explained by the attorney. I'm guessing for Pacifica to the directors tomorrow night. Member Sanders was asking that we attend that meeting to get the information firsthand. So I think it wasn't under advisement. I think it was just reticent to to give an answer here tonight, seeing as though the attorney will speak tomorrow. So that was their answer. Hmm. Right?
No.
All right.
She did say something about the intern. I forgot the name of the group that is challenging it, that was being taken under advisement. And I'm curious about that as well.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me get a little bit more from one of our directors, and while I open the floor up, we can take a stack. All right. I know this is an important issue, given the fact that we had a very lengthy discussion last month as well. So, we have another director, and he'll give us his report, and then we'll open the floor up, okay? So go ahead.
Kamau. Yes. I'm so sorry. I can't raise my hand. I'm just trying to put myself on the stack. No. I just want to put myself on the stack.
Oh,
I just
got
can't
you.
Raise my hand.
Yep, I got you. Yep, you're on the stack. Okay. Member Williams, what do you have?
Well, first of all, just in terms of the confusion, so the way I understand it is there was a hearing, the intervention was taken under advisement, and then a ruling subsequently the same day did come down from the judge that basically denied the challenge, so that they the sort of appeal process, the process. Challenging the decision, the earlier court decision was denied. Now, in terms of, I was actually, I understand that the lawyers wants to speak at the PNB meeting, tomorrow. I was actually going to start talking through some of the changes, sort of to get people thinking about what life under these bylaws for the LSB is going to look like. I leave it to you, Chair, if you want to postpone all of that till next month, or if you want to start discussing some of that now. In the meantime, there's one specific thing from the meeting, from the Finance Committee meeting, I can share. It's up to you if you want to start having a discussion.
Great question.
World, yeah.
I think that may naturally come here in a moment. So give us your Finance Committee details. I think you're on that in that committee, and then we can go from there and take a stack. So go ahead.
Okay. So, now this is just a draft, but the executive director, last night, shared a draft of a new, procedure to evaluate, programming. And the idea is that this would be the same tool would be used across, different stations made different efforts along these lines. This would standardize the evaluation process of programs across the network. This is just a draft. There's going to be input from the Finance Committee and from the PNB. I don't believe that there is a specific role for the LSBs necessarily to respond, but I have a copy of the draft, which I will share with the LSB so that you all can get a sense of that. Now, how that works, I think, and this goes a little bit to the larger point, because with the narrower scope of the LSBs, pretty much all of the committees and most of the activity that we've been organized in now, the way I read it is at the pleasure of management. And so in terms of this program evaluation tool, this is an initiative that would be led by the program director and the general manager. Now, it seems to me perfectly logical that, we have a programming committee in place. If management wanted to look to a programming committee as, volunteers to help with the process of carrying out this evaluation, that's one example, then that would seem to make sense. But the programming committee itself, like most of the committees we have now, there is actually no official role for it in under the new LSBs, unless, as I said, if the local management wants to kind of say, okay, we want your help to look at this thing and to do that particular task, then that's a place to organize a committee. But the otherwise, the two primary functions are, as Minerva mentioned, community outreach and membership and fundraising. We also need to appoint coordinators for those two roles. And that's all I'll say for now.
All right. Very well. Thank you for that. Appreciate the directors taking on that role and representing us in the local station there at the national board. So I see, I'll take a stack. I have member Tingling Clemens, and then I have member Dixon Briggs in that order. Michelle.
Yeah, so, okay. If what I'm hearing is that those bylaws have been okay, or that they're no longer grounds for objecting to them in the courts, so does that mean that there's going to be a discussion about what, if any, role there is for LSBs, for members in this new Pacifica? I mean, what is our role in a so-called public station that has no role for the public and no accountability? So there's going to be a discussion about that at the PMB tomorrow night.
I will allow and defer to our directors. Anybody want to answer Member Tingling Clemens on that question?
I defer to the officers.
Two officers, Hewitt as secretary, Sanders as vice chair. Any response from Member Clemens, Tingling Clemens?
This is Julie. Yeah, what I was just going to say is I don't remember exactly what the member just said, but I think there was embedded in the question was maybe an assumption about how things are going to occur that I'm not sure that I agree with, right? In terms of being an interpretation of the new bylaws. So, you know, but honestly, I'm sorry, I don't remember what she said.
No, she was asking what the role going forward for the local station board would be under the new bylaws. Go ahead.
And
yeah.
If there will be a discussion of that at the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, if there will be a discussion of that at the meeting tomorrow, right.
That's a great question. I don't know if there will be a discussion at the meeting tomorrow specifically about that. Is that a ripe discussion? Absolutely, right? But I'm not sure whether that's going to be on the agenda tomorrow or not.
This is Minerva.
Yes, go ahead.
What I would say to any member of the LSB, any member of the community that has questions, please list them, and they will be taken back to the LSB, because we're beginning to really dig into what's going to take place going forward. And they have always stated that there may be some things that they need to change or tweak or talk about, but we don't know what the community wants, what the LSB members want, other than the things that were previously presented. And those things have been moved to the PMB. But in terms of your station, there are things that are open for the station and the LSB and the community to address. So this is how you're going to find out. You give them what it is you think that you want to do and see if that's part of it, or is there a way to kind of weave it into what's taking place after 2026. So you're asking questions that we don't have direct answers for this evening, but I can tell you, before 2026, these things will be addressed and there will be answers given.
This is Michelle. So you're saying that bylaws don't take effect until 2026?
No, that's not what I'm saying, Michelle. Okay. I'm saying that as they put this together, there were areas, one area in particular, there was conversation here about the cab, whether they would be in play or not. And it was brought to their attention that we have a very active and strong CAB group within the Washington, D.C. area, within WPFW. And so it is in that if there are stations with a cab, then those stations will continue working with their cab. And then the LSB will take on different roles. But, you know, that was one of the things that they had said initially, that the cabs would go away, but that is not the case. If a station wants to, if an LSB wants to have a cab, a station wants to have a cab, then, you know, there's provisions in there that this could continue.
All right. Thank you for that question. Michelle, if you want to get back on the stack, go ahead. Member Dixon Briggs, you have the floor.
So Minerva just mentioned the listeners having the opportunity to say what they want. I can speak for some of the listeners who would have loved the opportunity for the bylaws to have been changed in a legal manner, according to the bylaws that were in effect at the time, and not for some fake crisis to have been presented to the court as a subterfuge for having a judge making a decision that should have been made by the listeners according to the legitimate bylaws. So we've previously discussed how undemocratic these new bylaws are, that in fact even the bylaws can't be changed by the listeners. They have to be changed by the PNB, yes, which goes through a process that is secluded unto itself to make changes to the bylaws. So there's no role for the listeners or the LSBs except to be the money raisers. That's pretty much it. So I appreciate Alex Steinberg and the other people who engaged in the process to serve as interveners to the court. I'm sorry that the judge took so little time to review the information presented by the interveners. I think it's a sad day for Pacifica. And I will be listening tomorrow to see what this lawyer has to allege will be happening under the new undemocratic Pacifica.
Member Lane, you have the floor.
Yes, I have two questions. Has all means of appeal been exhausted?
Are you trying to ask the directors? I think, that feels like a legal question. Who are you trying to direct that to?
Anyone who may know. In other words, can they appeal the decision by this judge?
Does anyone know if the, decision that was rendered by the judge on July 3rd be appealed? Is that appealable? Is there a resident attorney?
this is Julie. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not an attorney. And that's, you know, one of the things I think we could ask the attorney tomorrow night if there's any, you know, sense in which this is an appealable decision.
Okay. And okay. Yeah, or Ambrose?
Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm hearing correctly, the role now of the LSB is community outreach and fundraising. Did I hear that correctly?
That's correct.
So if that is correct, and the and our community, the WPFW community, rejects what the decision was, and because they are upset with the decision, they decide not to give money WPFW, does Pacifica then blame the management of WPFW for not being able to fulfill its purpose, or blame the LSB for not being able to fulfill its purpose in raising money?
Feels rhetorical. I'm not sure anyone has that specific answer, but
it's damn sure rhetorical. And it is obvious that if the community doesn't like it and they stop giving money, then it puts the LSB in a bind. It puts the management in a bind and the station in a bind. And they're back to square one where they were on this false emergency anyway. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
I think Member Sanders suggested that we cobble together these questions. Let me offer this, Ellen. If you have a specific question that you want the national board to address tomorrow night, if you can get those in by, we'll call it 12 noon, 1 o'clock at the latest tomorrow afternoon, we'll have those put together, and Ellen will have those sent off to the national board as questions coming from the PFW local station board, okay? So put that in an email as quickly as possible to Ellen, and then we'll have these addressed tomorrow evening.
I guess come out as a question. It would probably come out something like, how would the PNB evaluate stations whose communities reject the change of the bylaws and therefore don't give money anymore? How would they evaluate the stations?
Ellen, could you take that as a note, please, right there? That's your first question on the list. How will how will the National Board evaluate stations whose listenership rejects the adoption of the new bylaws? All right. And let's continue to give Ellen those questions. I have Member Bruce, Member Pinckney, Williams, Byfield, Gordon, Tingling, Clemens in that order. Go ahead, Member Bruce.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask questions of our PNB directors here, especially the chair, especially the officers. A couple questions. One, when are our terms over in 2026, or are they over this year, at the end of this year?
Any director have that?
Any director at this point?
I can answer that.
Okay.
All of the entire board and officers stay in place through 2026. There elections will be held, I guess, in the summer next year. Now, there are, I believe, three of us, I think you, Wayne, Vanessa, and myself, who technically would finish our 6 years at the end of this year, and technically would term out. I don't know if there's a provision, if we would have an option to continue or not, if we wish to. That's not clear. I have to get an answer for that, but that's just with three of us. Everybody else stays in place, and then everybody is up for election next year. We keep the three officers, and then next year there will be – the election will be the listener members in our signal area will vote directly for chair, vice chair, secretary, membership fundraising coordinator, and community outreach coordinator for those five officers.
Thank you.
Staff will elect two staff representatives, and that's it. And then those seven people will select the other six people to round out the smaller 13-member local station board.
Thank you. My main concern about this whole thing is, when are the seats for the PNB over? When are those seats over? When is chair, vice chair, and any other seat over? Because if we're unhappy, we're not going to be able to change anything with the executive board at the PNB who agrees with this decision. And whether they came from PFW or they came from BAI, they agreed with this decision. Our directors, or at least one of our directors, directly voted for it. And, you know, I guess in a laugh in the face moment to everybody on this board or our local station board at the time who had power, who we advised them to vote against that measure. So, I mean, our main concern is, are the people on the PNB from PFW representing the wishes of themselves or representing the wishes of the listener station board here?
Yeah. I think
my question, when their jobs are. I know when my job.
Everybody's job is all the votes are taking place according to Member Williams, as he's suggested. It's all next year. So
thank you. Dr. Williams.
Absolutely. All right. I have Pinckney. Go ahead.
Two things. Could someone please tell me what CAB stands for?
Community Advisory Board.
Okay. That's what I figured, but I just wanted to be sure. And can someone tell me how to make my hand brown?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too.
Yeah, we'll give you a
hopefully in the sun.
When we connect.
God had to do that.
Remember, no problem.
This one.
Oh, we'll hook you up when we get in touch with you.
All right.
Member Williams.
Yeah, just a quick clarification with the community advisory boards. They do continue. There's a power shift, because as conceived by the, CPB, the community advisory boards were designed to be independent with some evaluative role over management. In the bylaws that are now in effect, the CABs continue at least through the transition period, but they are under the supervision of each station's management. So I just wanted to clarify that.
All right. I'm sorry. I lost track of time. We have time certain here on this particular PNB director's report. There's a stack here, so I'll need a motion to extend if you want to continue with this, and we can move into unfinished business. Is there a motion to extend? Hearing none.
Move to extend.
How long? 5 minutes or?
5 minutes.
Motion to extend for 5 minutes. Any opposition? All right. Hearing none. Timekeeper, 1 minute. Byfield. Member Byfield, you're up.
I want to withdraw my conversation. I'd like to move on to unfinished business.
What?
Okay. So, all right. I got you. We'll come right to you as soon as we're done here. Go ahead, Member Gordon.
I just wanted to respond to Ambrose's question earlier. Again, I'm not admitted to practice in California. I am admitted to practice in Maryland and D.C. It appears that under the California rules, there is still the opportunity to take an appeal, but I would imagine that several contingencies would have to fall in place in favor of the interveners in order for them to be able to do that. So.
All right. Thank you, sir. Member Tingling Clemens, Member Leon, 1 minute. Go ahead.
My question, but I guess it's more for the Alan collecting questions, is I've asked the PNB representatives supporting these new bylaws to please provide justification for us to new members on how this public radio station actually reflects their interests and their needs. In other words, if we're out there still trying to recruit members and raise funds for the station, I would like them to provide some justification to help us with that, since some of us don't see any with these new bylaws.
Your question is, will the national board provide a reason or justification as you seek to fulfill the new bylaws mission of adding membership and fundraising?
I'm asking that I don't know who in the PNB to ask to do that,
right.
But that they be prepared to respond to that. They can provide it up front without making us ask and demand and
know about it. No, I got you. So Ellen, did you grab that?
I got it.
Thank you. Member Leon and then Member Lane in that order.
Okay, so I just wanted to say that this has been a long-term strategy and goal to get rid of progressive radio stations. And so to somebody who asked about what happens when the revenues don't come in, when the revenues diminish, they're going to vote to sell the license, most likely, and begin breaking up the network. They're going to break up the network into individual stations that could be bought up by right-wing organizations, Christian broadcasting, and those type of entities. So, you know, this has been a discussion and a fight going as far back as I can remember to prevent this from happening. So, you know, I'm hoping that something can happen to keep this from going on. And this setup right now with the bylaws is very similar to the pre-bylaws, where there was no community input. The only thing they wanted from the community was money. Send the money to the national office. Just keep sending the money to the national office and keep getting membership to get more money. Forget what the community has to say. We don't want to hear it. That's it.
Thank you. Member Lane, and then we'll move on to unfinished, and we'll hear from members Leon and Byfield concerning the grievance process. But Member Lane, go ahead and close this out.
I 100% agree with Tony, 100%. My question is, and this is another rhetorical question, Kamal, so sorry.
No worries.
What happens if, since these bylaws are in effect, and since the new LSB will be in place next June, is that correct? Is that about right?
I think it starts January 2027. The elections will take place
in June.
This time next year, yes.
Okay. What happens if the LSB strikes?
Ellen, can you put that down as a question?
What happens if more than one station's LSB strikes?
I mean, we have,
and decides that they are not going to raise money. What are they going to do?
Good question, sir. More to come on that. I think if we're allowed to have that discussion and debate at the national board level, maybe that will be addressed, but we're just little LSB down here, so I'm not sure.
That is not a question for Ellen to ask the PNB.
I got you.
All right. That is food for our thought.
Understood. Well, understood. Thank you. All right. Unfinished business. I want to go ahead. I know I have member Tinglin Clemens. She actually has a new unfinished business around the bylaws, the changes and implications. But let me pause that because I think there's been another even lengthier pressing issue from member Byfield. And actually member Leon, in tandem. I know member Byfield and I have been in discussion, in the interim between the last two meetings. So I'm going to give him an opportunity here, Michael, if you could, to come forth, with your concerns in and around the grievance process and the programmer bill of rights.
Mr. Chair, I want to respectfully defer to our member Leon, who's actually taking the lead on this for many, many years. And if when he's finished, if I think there's any unturned stone, I will ask to comment.
All right. Well, let me tee it up for everybody again, just so we understand where we are. And then I'll let you all, fill in the skeleton here. Essentially, what we've had happen is we had a committee work through in conjunction with management to come up with what's called a programmer bill of rights and a grievance process for volunteer staff. Essentially, the staff, if you're a volunteer, you're a programmer, there wasn't any way in which you could, address an issue you may have had with management. You're essentially, kind of on an island without any recourse. And if you did have an issue, you have to kind of seek outside counsel. So this was able, I believe Tony, Mariah, I'm going to leave some people out, but they spearheaded this effort. And so we have these documents now, of which members Leon and Byfield wanted these documents posted for the volunteer staff to be able to see on the WPFW website. Management went to the executive director. The executive director said that that's a personnel issue, doesn't need to be on the website. A subsequent link was discovered on KPFA's website addressing a process for volunteer staff. That was mentioned to the executive director, and we have yet to hear back. So we're kind of at an impasse. So I think members Byfield and Leon want from this body to understand what potential next steps they can do in order to make sure that the volunteer staff has access and the ability to file for these grievance process. So did I get it right, Tony and or Michael?
Yep, I think you did. Thank you for that background.
No problem. So what would you all like this body to do in terms of trying to finish this unfinished business? I know I've sent an email I thought was pretty accurate and to the point of what we wanted or what was asked for. And I think at this point we're getting what we're getting. So any suggestions from you all about how you want to proceed?
Well, yes, Mr. Chair, and thank you. I saw that email. It was very thorough, and we deserve a response from the ED. Maybe she hadn't had time yet, but hopefully she will give us some sort of response to the question that you posed. In the meantime, I have two motions. I'm going to go through it real quick. First motion, let me give the preamble for it. Whereas this is an urgent matter, it's approaching 1 year since the WPFW local station board adopted a grievance process in September of 2024 to provide due process for our unpaid staff. Since then, the process has not been implemented by station management. And whereas after the most recent query about this lack of implementation, Pacifica Executive Director Stephanie Wells wrote LSB Board Chair Kamal Harris stating that because of possible legal, HR, or administrative exposure, the grievance process not be accessible to the staff on the station website and that it be distributed internally. And whereas Chairman Harris responded asking her to comment on why another Pacifica station, KPFA in Berkeley, does have the process posted on their website, allowing staff to independently seek information, submit a grievance. But as far as we know, there has been no response to Chair Harris. So with that said, I move that the matter of implementing a grievance process for unpaid staff be escalated to the Pacifica National Board, PNB, by any of our PNB reps. Second motion is that...
Hold on, we got to take that independent now. So... your motion is that we assign the current PNB directors with the task of escalating this issue to the national board. I think that's your motion, if I could.
Yes.
All right.
Second.
Got it.
Second that motion.
Member Lane is seconded the motion. Any discussion? Anybody want to motivate for or against?
Dennis has his hand up.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, Dennis, go ahead. Yep.
How much time, Mr.
One minute.
Yeah, actually, I have a question. I get the idea of going through the PNB, but if the issue really is the website, is there any reason we could not just that management can't just, we've got it printed, distribute it to all of the staff, and include it in the official sort of staff manual, and declare that that is our policy. And make it known specifically to each and every one of the staff, just not putting it on the website. Because my concern is that going through the PNB doesn't get us anywhere.
Okay.
Right. In terms of our particular needs.
That's the second motion, Dennis.
Okay.
All right. You got that all teed up. All right. So then let's have, a quick query. Is Miyuki still here? Oh yeah, there we go. Yes, Miyuki. Have you been able to hear the discussion?
Yes, I have.
Is there a way
I can go, but David was first.
I want to hear from you just in terms of either two suggestions. The fact that the executive director, has not been able to respond. If you have anything there, if not, that's fine. And then, to Member Williams' suggestion that we reproduce these documents and hand deliver them to each volunteer staff member. So I don't know how you feel about either one.
I checked with the executive director today in terms of the follow up. The question that you have, she is extremely busy. She did not mean to ignore you or anything. She just didn't get to it yet. But basically, she said that was what was put on KPFK is actually something that unpaid staff put on the website since 2012, and that it wasn't something that's being actively used or being deployed. The current IGM from there wasn't even aware of it, that it was there, and he's going to check with the people to see, you know, and he's going to ask them whether they can take it down. He's going to just ask them. Jose is very kind, and Antonio is very kind and nice, and he's just going to ask them if we can pull it down, because grievances are supposed to be internal, and that should not be in a public space. He was not aware of it, and then until Stephanie spoke to him about it. Right now, so that's in terms of those grievance procedures. Right now, Pacifica is actively working with council to create a contract for our volunteer programmers. So the programmers are volunteers. All programmers, all 900 programmers in Pacifica, we're going to have to sign these documents, and they will include the roles, responsibility, grievance procedures, and whatever with relationship with Pacifica. So that's coming down the road as well.
Okay. All right, let me hold on to that for a minute. Member Kiyasi, Member McLean, Member Lane, in that order, and then I'll come back to the interim GM's response. Go ahead, David.
I would just like a clear statement as to what the motion is. Ah.
Yes, so the motion on the floor is to have the WPFW local station board directors bring to the national, Pacifica National Board, the question of having the grievance process posted on the WPFW.org website.
Okay, thank you.
Not a problem. You're welcome, sir. Member McLean.
Good evening. I was just going to suggest something, Tony, that maybe you could consider as well and maybe even add to your second motion. But it would be that if you want an accessible link for programmers and other insiders, quote unquote, to be able to access the Bill of Rights, you could publish it on the website without making it a live link for the public. So it's still possible to add to the website without it being public to absolutely everyone.
Okay. It's an alternative. Member Lane, thank you.
Yes. Does the information that Miyuki just shared with us make this grievance procedure moot.
It sounded to me, and I was going to address that after we cleared the stack here. It did sound like they were going to have the IGM, I guess, at KPFA address their link, which sounds like it isn't active, nor does anyone even know it's there, that they would remove that and then institute a system-wide, network-wide, for the 900-plus volunteer staff, a very specific contract identifying a grievance process and I guess Bill of Rights. It kind of hurts a little bit since we did put a lot of work into what we were doing here locally. That's just my little.
And it would in fact supersede what we did.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It'd be completely in the hands of the national board. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do we want to put a hold?
I just want to get on the stack. For some reason, I can't raise my hand all of a sudden.
I hear you. You'll be after Byfield. Go ahead, Ambrose.
So do we want to put a hold on this, understanding that, number one, the bylaws are currently in effect. Number two, you could just say that there's going to be a form that every programmer or non-paid is going to have to sign, which includes a grievance procedure.
Okay. All right. That's, I hear you. That's your argument. It sounds like against the motion. That's fine. We'll hold that.
Can I respond, Mr. Chair, to a couple of things?
Quickly. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. So this process that Miyuki described, it sounds good, but there's no date. When is that going to happen? Who knows how long it's going to take for that to happen? And what do the programmers do in the meantime? So that's one thing. Then same thing for removing it off of KPFA site. Who knows when that's going to happen? And so in the meantime, there's a disparity in place. They have it. We don't. Okay. And, if it doesn't go on the website, at minimum, the second motion should apply.
All right. We'll hear your second motion. In a second. So I have Byfield, Williams, Pinchback in that order.
Okay. The history of this is, the reason for this is, when I served on the board my first term, right up until 2017, we were trying to get this done. We're in 2025 and it's not done yet. Since that time, there have been members, volunteer programmers that have been removed and with no redress, no grievance process. One was for anti-Semitic remarks, which he disputes. Mike Wolf was removed. He's a part of this. Millie Ware. And none of these people were given any kind of redress. Now, we're kicking the can down the road. But not only that, the ED is probably being very cautious because she's not fully aware of these issues. And what it does is exposes us to the very fear of what we're trying not to get involved in is a lawsuit.
That's a minute, Mr. Chair, just to know for the record.
Absolutely. Go ahead, finish up.
So I just wanted to give the LSB a feel for why we are where we are. And in my email to our IGM, I was saying we need our IGM or our GM, which we don't have yet, to fight for us. Because there's another station that has volunteer programmers that are being represented. Thank goodness that, KPFK or whichever station it is had that. Then we're not stepchildren, and we're not slaves. We need to be represented also. And that was the case I was making. I was making the case that we need to fight for our own as well. We're raising funds for the station every single day. Then we need to be represented. Our volunteer programmers aren't slaves.
Thank you. Remember Williams and Pinchback in that order, and then we'll try and see if we have a vote on this motion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if Miyuki or Minerva or Julie has an answer to this, but I'm wondering if the ED and council who are drafting these contracts have any have taken any input from for instance our procedure or any of the other procedures that are already in place. Are they going to be sort of drafting something out of whole cloth that doesn't necessarily touch on any of our the concerns that we have already addressed? I don't know if anybody knows that.
Do we know, I think you brought it up, do we know if they're going to be incorporating anything that the local station board or what management has here already in place, or is this out of whole cloth, brand new? And just for the record, let's not mention any folks who may or may not have a grievance. We don't need to go and name programmers or anybody else. It's we are an open session, okay? So go ahead, Miyuki. Any idea about where the current contracts are being derived from?
I do not have any knowledge of that.
Okay.
I gave you all the information I had, because when I asked, I said this issue was going to come up. You know, how do you recommend I address it? And she gave me that information. I do want to say, though, my job as IGM is to protect the programmers, which I am one, as well as the station. And so, as Kamau said, can't go into any details in terms of anything, but I'm not capricious. I am not, vengeful. I'm not a person that would make a decision as serious as that. Recklessly. And I appreciate all the work that everyone did. Tom Cole, Mariah, you know, Tony, I appreciate everything that you did. I was all for it. And I'm for Programmers Bill of Rights. But there are certain things that are going on structurally from Pacifica. And there are also issues that are going on legally. And I have to take the best position that protects the station and the programmers. And that's what I believe I've done.
Okay. All right. Pinchback, and then we'll put a bow on the first motion. Go ahead.
All right. One of the questions, I think it would be in our best interest to just ask that question. You know, as PNB reps, I will certainly ask it. What is this process? You know, that they're planning in terms of contracts. What is the time frame? You know, are they just pulling this, creating this out of thin air, or are they going to get input from the other stations? Then we'll have some answers. If they say, okay, well, 6 months from now, you know, everybody will have to sign contracts. Then we can chew on that. Okay. If they say, well, we're going to, you know, take the best of what's out there right now and put it together. We can chew on that. But right now, we need to find out if that's a definite plan, a workable plan for the PNB, you know, not for the PNB, for the ED, and legal to create this contract. Because as Ambrose mentioned, that will supersede a lot that we're trying to accomplish here. So I will be asking that
chair,
question.
Just for the record.
Yep.
Sorry, Ron.
Go ahead and wrap up, Ron.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You want to wrap?
I was going to say I will ask that question at the PNB meeting.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So the motion on the floor. Tony, how do you feel about it at this point? Did you want to?
My motion remains as
okay.
It stands.
All right. So it sounds like you may have an advocate in Director Pinchback. Is there any objection to the motion as presented from Member Leon?
No.
All right. Hearing none, motion carries. I would ask Member Leone, Member Pinchback, I think you all need to get together and very succinctly and directly put together your queries, your questions, and make sure all your ducks are in a row as you approach this, because it sounds like, to kind of echo what Member Byfield was saying, that, you know, the cans can get kicked quite a bit, all right? So let's work together on that. Member Leone, you had something else?
Yeah, so while this is going on, which I expect to take some time, in the meantime, my second motion is that the LSB make a request to the IGM to distribute the Bill of Rights and grievance process to all unpaid staff immediately. Email distribution?
Yeah, listserv. Yep.
The listserv, yeah. Via the listserv, and in their mailboxes. So that is the motion that I have.
Motion. Okay. Motion on the floor is to have the programmer's Bill of Rights and the grievance process distributed to all programmers at WPFW via the programmer's listserv, and to have an actual hard copy delivered to them in their mailboxes. Did I get it right?
Second.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is there a second? I heard somebody say second.
Second.
Who second. Is that? Give me an
Ambrose.
Ambrose. Okay. Didn't recognize your voice.
Chair.
All right. Seconded by Member Lane. Any discussion? I see Miyuki. Go ahead. You have your hand up.
No, I just wanted you to be clear on the emotion. There is no mailbox. There are no mailboxes.
Right. Okay. All right. So fair enough. So, updated, the motion cannot include a mailbox delivery. So we'll
strike that
from the motion. Okay. So it's a delivery of the process and Bill of Rights via the programmer's listserv, seconded by Member Lane. I see Member McLean and Member Avery Brown in that order.
So my question would be, if we are kind of moving away from the Bill of Rights and the documents that we created, as Miyuki stated, because there are some legal repercussions or guidelines that we had to follow, does it really matter what the method of communication for the current Bill of Rights and other document is going to be?
No, Miyuki stated that it was a legal, or the ED said it was a legal issue for posting it on the website. That was my understanding, not for distributing it.
May I respond?
Of course.
I know that we're talking about the method of how it's posted or shared. What I'm saying is the documents are becoming, if maybe I'm misunderstanding, are the documents becoming basically mute, like they yes. won't have any impact?
Correct. The way that I'm hearing is that whatever was done here locally will become obsolete once the national board implements whatever contractual documents they are producing.
Right. And so even though we don't have a timeline, I think it would be confusing to send something out that is not going to be held, past whatever timeline that we know.
I don't understand.
Hold on, Tony. Let her finish. Go ahead.
So, Tony, basically what we're saying is the documents that we worked, I mean, we did work hard on them, but the documents that we worked on are not going to be in effect because the national is basically, or there are going to be new documents that are going to override what we created, right? So to me, I didn't have a preference of how it was distributed or posted as long as the programmers received it. But what I'm saying is it won't matter how they receive it because they won't take effect.
Okay.
But you don't know that.
Hold on. Let's not debate across. Let's not do that. Let me try and square. So all she's saying, Tony, and I know you want to respond, so jump on the stack, but she's basically arguing, that if we do it and then 1 month, 6 months, 12 months later, something new comes up, will it be confusing? So it sounds like she's kind of motivating, against your second motion. So we'll leave it there. Go ahead, Member Avery Brown. Actually, we're at time certain on unfinished business. So there's a motion on the floor. So we'll extend this until we get through the motion. Member, I'm going to kind of cut the stack here. So Avery Brown, Pinchback, Goodwin, Leon, in that order. Okay. 1 minute. Go ahead, Avery.
Okay. So my concern is similar to what Mariah was saying, except that is this going to be enforceable immediately? I mean, I don't care how it's distributed to the programmers or when down the road the national may step in and create a document. If we distribute this now, is it enforceable immediately? And I'm not sure that it is. That's my question.
Okay. No, valid question. I think that's one of the things where, a decision would have to come from, management and or the national board as to whether or not someone does file a grievance. Is that grievance going to be accepted, via this method? I don't know. So that's kind of one of the things, chicken egg. I don't know. I mean, we have to kind of figure out, does management adhere to what the local station board is requesting. That's what we're trying to figure out here. Pinchback, Goodwin, Leon, in that order.
Okay. That's my concern also, that, if we put this out there, right now, we don't know what their plans are. So that's why I'm going to ask that question tomorrow night regarding, this contract. So I'm just saying that I think we ought to get some answers on that, as best we can. I'm going to ask those questions tomorrow night, if permitted. And, but I think we need to find out, they need to expose what they're planning, because they won't be enforceable. The PNB won't, accept anything that they don't vote on. Okay. So that's where I'm at. Just let's get that information, and go from there.
Okay. Goodwin, Leon, Lane.
Right. Obviously there are a lot of questions and, enforceability is a very big one, but if they are enforceable, but we still want to wait until the PNB comes up with a network-wide Bill of Rights, that could take a very long time. And do our programmers want to be without rights that entire time? Maybe our programmers want to weigh in on that. Because we're assuming they don't, it's been thrown out there that they're going to get used to one thing and then it could change. But if we wait, they will be unrepresented.
Yeah. Yep. Member Leon and Member Lane, and then we'll see if we can put a vote or we need to vote. Go ahead, Tony.
Member Lane can go before me. I'd like to go last.
I'm going to close it out. Thank you. Member Lane.
All right, Tony. No problem. Make them work. We should be in a mindset right now to make Pacifica work their butts off. If we have already accepted this, we've already voted on this, we've already adopted this, implement this. Make them work to get rid of it.
Right.
Okay. And then that's another item that we can check off that shows the hypocrisy and the mismanagement of this regime. make them work for everything.
Right.
So if they have to come back to us and say, oh, this is not valid, then we say, why is it not valid? Do you have something else to replace it? Oh, no, we don't have anything else to replace it right now. We'll have to wait until next June or 2027. Make them work.
All right. Thank you for that. And Member Leone, you want to go ahead and close this out here?
So it's interesting how we're willing to give up our local autonomy on this issue. Okay, we developed this issue here. And I suspect that the other stations will probably, if the national is going to do anything, is going to adopt some of these processes that we have developed, if and when that happens. And we don't know when that's going to be. Now, Mariah thinks that the new process may override our process. Okay, it may be. But again, who knows? Whether it be months or years or if it happens at all. We don't know that. So what happens in the meantime? If we have such a high regard for our volunteers, as stated in the mission statement, we need to do something for them. Let's do this. Let's demonstrate this. Management needs to go ahead and demonstrate it. Verna asks, is it enforceable? Well, that question should have been asked before we approved the process, really. Now is not the time to ask if it's enforceable. It's enforceable. It should be implemented because management and the LSB agreed on it. So why wouldn't it be enforceable? I mean, this is not a court case. This is mediation that we're talking about. This is a method of due process. So I don't see why it wouldn't be enforceable. Ask the PNB if they have a plan and see what kind of answer you get. We don't need California as a parent. We're all grown and intelligent people here in Washington, D.C. So let's go on and manage our own business for a change.
All right. I do have a couple of hands, and I want to get through this quickly if we could. 30 seconds, if you can, Member McClain and Member Gordon, in that order.
Yeah, I just want to respond to that. When I asked whether or not it was enforceable, it's not because I thought that when we were spending hours and hours creating this, that I didn't think they were enforceable. It was because based off of the information tonight, it was whether or not what's being created will even override or even allow us to be able to hold programmers and vice versa to that standard. If it is enforceable while we wait for the PNB to create whatever they're going to create, then yeah, I agree. I spent a lot of time on this. Let's move it forward, Tony. So that's my thought process. And I definitely agree in terms of what you're saying in terms of being independent.
Yeah. Member Gordon.
Yeah, I just want to quickly and strongly support Tony. We voted on this a long time ago. As far as I'm concerned, it is in full force and effect. And it's kind of bizarro world to think that the staff doesn't know about it, if that's the case. But I also want to say that this is, I think, a microcosm of what life is going to be like under the new world order, period. So I'm strongly in favor of what Tony's saying. And, you know, we should just go ahead and vote on it. And that's 30 seconds for me.
Really quickly, the people part of that committee, there was a volunteer staff involved in that process. No? Is that right?
Tom Cole was volunteer staff.
Okay. All right.
Tom and
Jordan.
Okay.
And
I was involved in it also.
Yeah, and Ron.
Okay. All right. Very well. So there was representation.
And Abby. Yeah.
And Abby. All right.
Abby's right.
So the motion then on the floor for everybody is to have the Bill of Rights, Programmer Bill of Rights, and the grievance process be distributed to each programmer via the WPFW programmers listserv. What is your pleasure? Is there any objection to that motion? All right. Hearing none, we are going to ask and be certain that management, that motion passes, and we will make sure that management understands that the current Bill of Rights and the grievance process be distributed via the listserv immediately. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, we have, if I can just ask a question. Sure. Management is here in the meeting. I'd like to ask if she would like to comment on distributing it to the staff, volunteer staff.
I'll ask her for a comment, but I don't, if she didn't raise her hand, I don't know if she has one. I think she understands the task at hand, but did you have anything you want to add, Muki, or no?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Very well. New business. I had something on there about fundraising after the current budget bill. I'm going to skip that. Proposals from Member Hirsch. This has been a long time. I don't know, Michael Hirsch, if you still have a desire to kind of bring this up. This has been a few months. We may need to redistribute your suggestions about how to interact and be more productive. I think you had some bullet points on that. Do you recall that?
I do, but I have two quick thoughts on it. One, it's kind of late. And two, you've actually kind of adopted a lot of them.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think that maybe redistribute them and see if there's anything else we might want to do. But, and I think we've made incredible strides under your leadership, Mr. Chairman, in terms of efficiency of these meetings. So I thank you for that.
All right. Thank you. And then lastly, new member orientation. So we have a new member. I think Michelle, a member of Tingling Clemens, was anxious for us to orientate her as well to being, a delegate. And so I think what we'll try and do is, get something together that, a suggested way in which a packet could be put together and given to new members. I'll let you all take a look at it. If we are missing something and we need to add, subtract from there, we'll do so. And, our, guinea pig, so to speak, will be Pinckney and then, anyone else who wants to join that session. Is that fair enough, Michelle?
Well, I guess so. I was actually thinking after the conversation tonight. It seems like it may be a moot point since the LSB is not going to exist in any real way to have any authority to do anything. Not sure how much difference it makes whether we're oriented or not. Unless somebody's going to orient us into the closing out of the whole LSB.
Yeah. Well, we can always wait and hear what we, see what we get tomorrow and then process that and go from there. Does that sound fair?
Okay.
I don't think we can just kind of leave it to chance. I mean, there will be some members coming in, after us. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. I know.
I'll withhold my judgment.
I know. Look.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot going on. So I see Byfield. Yes, I got your hand. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to just ask for a moment of silence and just to notify those who do not know that a former board member, David Schwartzman, recently passed last Tuesday, and he was a very involved member of the community. I know I met him here as a board member. He was also a professor at Howard University, and for those who know him, there's information available, in terms of, the memorial. And, I know they're going to have something for him in September, but, I just wanted to give that information out.
This is Michelle. My understanding is that there's going to be a
service for him at Joe Butler Center on Saturday. I don't have the time, but I'll share it as soon as I get.
If you could, yeah, if you all, between you or Michael, could get that maybe to Ellen, and then we could get that out to everybody and let folks know about the services, all right?
Okay.
Thank you, Michael, for that.
Thank you.
I see Member Pinckney. You have a question?
Yes, I just wanted to ask if you would repeat the information about how to attend the meeting tomorrow. It was a website, right? What was it, please?
Member Sanders had that information. I don't off the top. I typically just go to kpftx.org, but you can do the same. So the website address, kpftx.org. At the top tomorrow should be the Pacifica National Board meeting link.
Look
at that link and you will be able to listen in to the meeting.
Okay.
I think they do it by Zoom, but you will not have Zoom access to that meeting. You will only be able to listen in. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's a little different than what we're doing here tonight. You can only listen.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have something? Oh.
Welcome to adjourn.
Hold on. One action item is, or two action items. The orientation, we'll get to that. And then obviously, seeing that the Bill of Rights and the grievance process gets out to all of the, programmers. Did I miss anything? Member Kiasi is there. I see your hand.
So I wanted to know, what is the process for, for us to move from an interim station manager to a permanent station manager? Where is that in the process?
A general manager?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. They put a process in place, the national board. I believe they were going station by station. I'm not sure we've got our directors here. Anybody want to take on that question from Member Kiasi? What's the process to,
that's at the purview of the ED.
The, Houston station just named a permanent. So that one is done. I don't know where we are in the rotation. I don't know if Julie or Minerva has that information.
I don't know where we are in the rotation either.
I think we may be the next in line because the ED keeps asking, or she stated how many resumes she had received. So, and she may have an update on that tomorrow night as well.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Very well. Thank you. I did hear something a second ago that I interrupted. Somebody wanted to do something.
Go home.
I do want to say, if we could just maybe take a minute of silence for the victims in Texas, the victims of the flood. It's such a horrific situation. I know they're a red state, but they are part of humanity, and we are too, and that's part of the human family. And if we could just maybe take a moment to acknowledge that and to send whatever you believe in, prayers or light or whatever, to those families out there suffering.
Well, I want to add to that the people in Gaza and Sudan.
Absolutely.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all for your attendance. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second the motion.
All right. Hearing no opposition, we are adjourned. Thank you all. We'll get that information out. The recording will be up, and we will continue to move forward. Support Violetta and her committee, 5K coming up. Very, very important flagship piece of the organization. So let's go ahead and support that, all right? Thank you all.
Thank you all.
All right.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
My son was a genius. My son was a musical genius.
Yes, he was.